Meeting to order. Please note that assistive listening devices are available for use in the council chambers upon request from staff in the clerk's office. Please ensure all cell phones are turned off or placed on silent. Are there any members of council who have to disclose a pecuniary interest? Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Interesting, on Thursday, I spoke to the clerk and said that I wanted to respond to the integrity report. And she said it was quite okay to do so. On further reflection and talking with my advisor, if I had actually done that, I would have been a conflict of interest. So I have a declaration here. One, I would like to read out into the record, and two, I'd like to have it put on the screen and actually recorded in the minutes as such, please. So, declaration of conflict of interest by Councillor Shaughnessy in the matter of the Integrity Commissioner report, Code of Conduct complaints, Councillor Barb Shaughnessy, date 11/2017, as in follows: pecuniary interest. There are no exceptions provided in Section 4 of the Municipal Conflict of Interest Act, RSO 1990 CM.50, permitting the participation of a member who is subject to a code of conduct proceeding before a municipal council. Section 15 sets the primacy of the Act in the event of a conflict between any provision of this Act and any provision of any general or special Act. The provision of this Act prevails, RSO 190 CM.50, S.15. So with that, I would like, if Devin could please put that on the screen, just so everybody is very clear, and if it could be included as I have written into the minutes, please. And just further, that from a perception point of view, even though the delegates come first and then the report will come forward, I personally think it would be inappropriate of me to be sitting here while the delegates speak. I don't want to say that I influenced anybody in any way, shape, or form. So I will be recusing myself from this part of the meeting.
Thank you. Are there any other members who wish to declare a conflict of interest? Seeing none, I will now move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the consent agenda. I will read out the title associated with the items on the agenda. Members of General Committee may ask that an item be held so that it can be further discussed. Please indicate your intention to hold an item by pressing your request to speak button. The first person on the list will be afforded the opportunity to speak first to that item. If an item is not held, the motion is deemed to be approved upon consent. No further discussion of the item will take place at the meeting. The recommendation will go forward to Council for our consideration at the next meeting. Staff report 2017-12 regarding use of corporate resources. Approved upon consent. Staff report 2017-50 regarding proposed on-street parking Willow Street. Approved upon consent. Staff report 2017-54 regarding waiving of 2017 farmers market fees for the Bolton Farmers Market, held by Councillor Downey. Staff report 2017-55 regarding community safety zone, Lansbridge Street south of Allen Drive for a distance of 225 meters north of Fountain Bridge Drive, held by Councillor Downey. Sorry, no? Are there any holds? Seeing none, approved upon consent. Staff report 2017-57 regarding review of the current height restrictions regarding shrub and hedges in the town's fence bylaw, held by Councillor Mezzapelli. Recommendations of advisory committees. Accessibility Advisory Committee report dated March 23, 2017. It's approved upon consent. Recommendation from the Accessibility Advisory Committee regarding accessible parking spaces to the Caledon Villas Park. Approved upon consent. Code of Conduct complaint, Councillor Barb Shaughnessy, dated April 11th, 2017, held by Councillor Groves. Notice of motion regarding holiday assistance for community groups, Councillor Shaughnessy. Approved upon consent. Notice of motion regarding Albion Hills Conservation Area's master plan endorsement. Approved upon consent. Notice of motion regarding Headwaters Food Charter endorsement. Approved upon consent. Notice of motion regarding High Street Parking, held by Councillor Downey. Confidential staff report 2017-10 regarding personal matters about an identifiable individual, including municipal or local board employees, senior of the year. Approved upon consent. We will now move on to the delegations, and I would ask that Vice Chair Mezzapelli take the chair, as I was listed as one of the complainants in the some of these delegation requests, and I think it would be inappropriate for me to preside over this.
Good afternoon. This afternoon we have a number of delegations scheduled. The first item is regarding the Integrity Commissioner's report concerning Code of Conduct complaints, Councillor Barb Shaughnessy, dated April 11th, 2017. In addition to the delegations listed on the addendum, the Clerk's Office has received two additional requests for delegations, one from Ian McCallum and another from Karen Allison. As the requests were received after the deadline, approval must be provided by committee. That section 8.9 of the procedural bylaw be waived to permit a delegation to be heard by Ian McCallum and Karen Allison concerning Integrity Commissioner's report dated April 11th, 2017. Is there a mover and a seconder to this? Mayor Thompson, seconded by Councillor Beffert. All in favor? It's carried. Before the delegations begin, I would like to remind all delegates that you will be provided 10 minutes to speak. I encourage all delegates to keep on point and speak on the matter at hand. It's important to note that the Integrity Commissioner's sanctions regarding the suspension of pay are not up for debate, nor is the process concerning a code of conduct investigation, as the rules and authority are clearly outlined in the Council Code of Conduct, which has been adopted by Council by bylaw. Following each delegation, members will be permitted to ask questions, but will be limited to questions of clarification only. And I also want to say that this is a very sensitive issue. I think we all recognize that. Sensitive to council members, sensitive to staff. So as chair, I'm going to make sure that we stay on point to respect those mentioned and that we stay on point. That said, I would like to call upon Tim Forrester to approach the podium to provide a delegation concerning Integrity Commissioner's report dated April 11th, 2017. Welcome. Please note that in accordance with the procedural bylaw, you are provided 10 minutes for your delegation. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Chair and Council. Let me begin by saying that today's discussion needs to be conducted in the best interest of taxpayers. That means being as open, transparent, as fair as possible. Simply stated, you cannot be open, transparent, and fair when you have the people who accuse you of wrongdoing acting as both your complainant and judge. To be blunt, Councillor Downey and Innes, along with Mr. Galloway, cannot accuse someone of something and then presume to vote or give advice regarding the same. So I appreciate the fact that Councillor Innes has recused herself from being the chair, but have you not considered recusing yourself from this proceeding altogether?
I would just state, as I mentioned in my comments, Mr. Forrester, that the issues that were suggested or handed down by Mr. Fleming are not for debate. So with respect to the financial sanction, that is his authority as commissioner, as integrity commissioner, to hand down. It's not for council to debate or to vote on that matter.
You mean that the council does not actually vote on receiving this document?
I will pass it on, refer the question to the clerk, but that is my understanding, is that his authority as integrity commissioner gives him the authority to make those recommendations. Okay, so when the report comes to before council, those issues can be debated. I believe there's answers to those questions that will be had at that time. But this is the time for you to provide a delegation on the matter at hand, and that's what we'd like to stick with.
Well, I don't know how long I'm going to get through this, but I'll do my best. Many of you know me as the spouse of Councillor Shaughnessy, and therefore my bias should come as no surprise. However, that bias in no way detracts from the validity of what I'm about to share with you today. Anyone who knows Barb knows that she is open to accepting tough assignments. She is a champion of the little guy and isn't afraid to go that extra mile when something is amiss or there is a problem to fix. If something is wrong, she does not stand by, she stands up. She doesn't get caught up in the old closed-door way of conducting public business. It is my belief that is exactly what is happening here today. Certain people see her asking the tough questions as a threat to the existence of their way of life. Now, there are a few key items that I would like to raise which calls into the question the actual integrity of the integrity commissioner. Am I allowed to speak to that? I will. His comments at times says he says that at times she is in a minority. This shows a lack of basic understanding of municipal government. Councillors are elected to represent the views of their constituents, not to toe some party line. Dissension is a good thing. It adds to debate and strengthens democracy. If Mr. Fleming thinks every vote should be unanimous, he needs to go back to school and take a civics course. But let's be clear, about 95% of council decisions are done on consensus. So Barb's voting pattern is not the problem. He's also stated that he was going to go beyond his mandate. Well, read into that one as you wish, but he has done that in his report. He is also presumed to know what actions Barb will take in the future, and he has also added a threat that involves more stringent repercussions. Again, something that we're concerned about. When Barb brought issues to light on the Downey Severance, the equestrian park, the Southfields pool, an amendment to the aggregate working plan, it wasn't on a whim or in isolation. She has been described as an activist, when in fact she's actually an advocate on behalf of her constituents and all the residents of Caledon. In fact, I'm pleased to say that there has been an outpouring of support for her over her stance on these issues. Sunlight is a good thing, and when it shines on government, it's even better. It's truly a shame that some of the council feel it is a threat to them in taking this route by forcing Barb into silence. Now, in relationship to the OMB issues that are listed in the report, it appears that the Integrity Commissioner saw fit to reference me in his findings as well. To be clear, the issue around the OMB relates to privacy, and this is curious since it's all a matter of public record. I can see why Barb received so many concerned calls from other landowners on the matter, to be honest, because the murky details on how the severance was dealt with in the first place, including errors of staff during the meeting that are now proven to be there. They don't look good on those involved. I have emails proving the communications with staff at the town and the OMB that are the only information being sought was public information. In fact, this is why the OMB staff provided me with everything that was in the file. It was public. Quite clearly, then, Mr. Fleming's information in his report is false. The question to be asked, however, is, was he deliberately misleading in this regard, or was he just outright deceitful, or is it a case of incompetence? Then there is the suggestion that in-camera materials were shared, and I suggest that Mr. Fleming provide proof of this accusation, since the record shows differently and he's committing slander and defamation by just alluding to that. So we take offense. To be blunt, my wife should have been found totally exonerated. However, the Integrity Commissioner went out in his report to suggest some form of wrongdoing on both her and my behalf. This was both reckless and unprofessional. Integrity commissioners are supposed to exemplify, you guessed it, integrity. And that was all but lacking here. Mr. Fleming is supposed to base his decisions on facts, not assumptions and conjecture. It's as if he ever looked at Barb's responses. Excuse me, I'm going to have a glass of water here. In fact, I was never interviewed by the integrity commissioner, nor was Barb ever contacted for any clarification on her response or prior to the integrity commissioner's decision. I have been made aware, and the report actually does discuss this, that CAO Galloway and certain counselors were interviewed. This shows his bias or incompetence in not seeking out the real truth. The words kangaroo court come to my mind. In complaint 3B, actually both Councillor Innes and Galloway complained that Barb requested confidential information in an email thread by requesting information that I picked up on the OMB. Again, Barb should have been absolved, but at no time did the two TANF Callan lawyers which she was communicating indicate that she had asked confidential information, because she didn't, as she asked for only public information. Yet again, the integrity commissioner states, I cannot with certainty determine, blah, 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 she was aware that she was seeking confidential information. Let me say again, it was not confidential. All this material was available in the response to the complaint. It doesn't take a lawyer to see there's a serious problem with this report. Mr. Fleming was entirely and unquestionably biased. On the staff report severance issue, I'd like to make 2 points quickly. The first point being is that on February 13th, Councillor Downey actually moved that the recommendations of that staff report be processed. She has a conflict of interest there. Her family has interest in the property, and it was listed in that report, and it's at the OMB. I don't get it. Second is that Downey severance at the OMB case has never come back to council, period. No input on the entering the settlement, discussions, or adjournment from council. Now it's halfway through April, and no update has been actually presented to council, and it's of that 30-day adjournment. So you haven't been kept in track. Council's responsibility is to give direction to staff, and no directions have been made since the original recommendation to go to the OMB. The interrogator commissioner states several staff has used the word intimidated when relating to me the experience with the counselor. Who were these staffs, and at what direction did they make these statements? Barb has not ever seen any interview, had any input, or received any input, or been able to respond to any of those complaints, or what's been intimidated in this report. And what does intimidated mean? Is that the feeling like you get when you get pulled over by a police officer for speeding? Some might feel naturally intimidated when actually being approached by a counselor. Perhaps intimidated is meant to be interpreted as being threatened. Barb's been threatened. Barb's been threatened here. I don't want to get too much into this, but by the CAO. And I don't know if I can speak to this issue. But
Mr. Forrester, just two things. You're almost at the 10-minute mark.
Well, we spent the first 4 minutes talking about...
I'm just letting you know that... That's number one. And I want you to stay on point. I don't want you to branch off. I want you to stay to the
report. The point has been raised about intimidating. And in my actual presentation, I do go on to talk a little bit about the CAO, which, you know what, I think I withdraw in terms of the public address. But it indicates that Barb's been put under a lot of stress here. That issue may come out. So the point is who's here to protect the counselor? Because on those particular instances with the CAO, no one stood up for Barb, and she's actually never received an apology. And the integrity commissioner has full knowledge of those events. And he said he could do nothing as the CAO was not covered by the council code of conduct. He has clearly shown who he supports by doing nothing, and he should have suggested different remedies. Barb has met and spoken to Mr. Fleming on several occasions. On one occasion, another counselor complained about a letter he had received from residents, and the ICE Integrity Commission wanted to know the role Barb played in its creation. On a more serious matter, the relationship started over a year ago when incidents occurred similar to what happened with the CAO. Barb and the other counselor who were intimidated, bullied, and harassed, felt compelled to follow an informal process, not
Mr.
wanting
Forster,
to make it political.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but I must. You're speaking on matters that are outside of this particular report. I understand what you're talking about, and...
Well, we're talking about intimidation here.
Let me finish. If you're talking about something that is untoward, then there is a process to go through to pursue that. You're here today to speak specifically to Integrity Commissioner Fleming's report.
Well, I am actually talking to the Integrity Report because out of that informal process, there was an action plan that came out of that particular process that happened. And nothing has been implicated. And because it wasn't, I believe that contributes to why we are here today. So in conclusion, didn't bring this up, but there's been complaints, February 1, February 2, February 3, show a coordinated effort to stifle the legitimate voice of an elected representative and damage to a reputation. The report written by the Integrity Commissioner shows an extreme negative bias, and as a result, any findings and recommendations should be considered tainted. And as counsel, you can make a strong statement about bullying in any form will not be tolerated, and that fair treatment of any counselor is not only expected, but required. You can choose not to receive this report. Public confidence is built on the counsel making good decisions. Today, you can make a good decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Forster.
Any questions?
I do have one, Councillor Gross. And please, again, I just want to make sure that we stay to...
Thank you.
Councillor Gross, please. I almost finished talking. Just that we stay on point and there are questions of the delegate.
Councillor Mezzapelli, we are staying on point, but, you know, you've interrupted Mr. Forster a number of times. You've given him 10 minutes. So I would ask you to allow us to ask our questions.
I have the authority as chair.
Yes, you do,
to make sure
give us the opportunity to ask the questions.
You're speaking over me. I have the ability as chair to make sure that the meeting is conducted as laid out in our procedural bylaw. So that's all I'm attempting to do.
Right, and you've predetermined what I'm going to ask by making those comments. So just allow counsel to ask those questions, please. Thank you. Just for clarification, through you to the clerk, Mr. Forster referred to and part of his delegation with respect to the motion Councillor Downey moved. In the staff recommendations, and I'm looking for clarification through you to the clerk. Was there a conflict in that report? It specifically referenced the OMB case, the address of the property, so I just need some clarification.
Mr. Gorder.
Through the chair to Councillor Groves, I'm unable to comment about that right now.
And where would we get those answers?
I would just say this, Ms. Councillor Groves, is if I'm understanding your question correctly, and I know that Mr. Forster brought this forward, that is a matter, and I'm not stating the whether it's valid or not. There is a process to pursue that. That is not something that is before us today. You're referring to other issues, and I know that some have been brought forward to the Integrity Commissioner. That is not the report and the recommendation of the Integrity Commission that we have before us today.
When delegations come forward, we are to ask for clarifications and questions of the delegate. That is what I'm looking for. Mr. Forster raised it, and I'm looking for clarification.
Right, and all I would say to that, Councillor Groves, is when Mr. Forster went down that road, that is when I interjected. I'm not trying to taint your delegation or sway it one way or another. I am here objectively, but when I sense that we are going off of the matter that is before us, that is when I respectfully interject, and that is the only reason I did it. So your question is to an item that I interjected and said was outside of the scope of this report.
Well, I just find that I've always asked questions of delegations for clarification, and fortunately I can't do that with Mr. Forster. So it really sends the wrong message, because I need clarification. As a member of council, I need clarification. So somehow, some way, somebody needs to provide some clarification, whether you do it today or you do it another day. The fact is this has been raised, and as a member of council who voted on that decision, I need clarification.
Thank you, Councillor Groves. Mayor Thompson, you on the board? Oh, Councillor Innes?
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Forster, for your presentation. Can you go back to the part where you had spoke at the beginning?
Sure.
With regards to the OMB and the concerns of requesting for confidential information and your thoughts on Mr. Fleming's findings?
Well, Mr. Fleming, in his report, basically indicated that he could find nothing that untoward that Barb had done. But his phraseology actually indicated, although I can't not distinctly say that she's done this, I'm going to say that she can't be in breach. I mean, there is a tone there that she's guilty, and we've had, but we can't prove it.
So to quote it, it says, therefore, with respect to the specific allegations in the complaint, i.e. that the letter to the editor was a breach of code, I do not find that it was a breach. There are, however, other matters that arise from this letter to the editor in other complaints addressed below. I'm reading it from
no,
the report.
No, there's other comments there.
I just have questions about the comprehension of what Mr. Fleming has said
to
us.
Councillor Groves, hang on. Councillor Innes, Councillor Groves. The question...
Oh, no, it's a fair question, and I'm happy to answer it. Because I'm sorry I just didn't bring this up to the meeting.
And I'm asking this question because I want to ensure that...
In question 1A, therefore I am unable... Yes. And what he did say in 2B... he said, therefore the code.
He gave the same answer for 2B as he gave for 1.
No, I'm talking about, it comes up again. Okay, this is 3 and 3B. He says, I cannot with certainty determine whether or not Councillor Shaughnessy was aware she was seeking confidential information. And then... Therefore, in 1A, he says, therefore, I'm unable to make the determination that Councillor Shaughnessy, in her writing, knew she was sharing information to a confidential matter. That's what you're referring to. Well, if you read that, it says he's unable to make that she knew she was sharing information. In other words, he's finding her guilty of sharing information. It's just that he's not finding her that she knew she was sharing the information. And that means she's guilty, but I can't lay a charge on her. And that is very bias. I'm sorry, do you read it any other way?
Well, I think...
Sorry, through the chair?
The question that I had for you is I just wanted to understand between the two different complaints which ones you were specifically referencing in his comments.
That's not what you asked.
1B to find out whether or not that was your interpretation of his response.
Thank you for your answer, Mr. Ford. You're welcome. So I am right. Thank you.
I see no more questions. Thank you, Mr. Ford.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
I now call upon Mr. Sinclair, Ian Sinclair, to approach the podium to provide a delegation regarding the Integrity Commissioner's report dated April 11th, 2017. Mr. Sinclair, as stated before, you were afforded 10 minutes to speak to provide your delegation. Welcome, and please go ahead.
Thank you. My comments on the report are framed through the principles of natural justice and procedural fairness that underlie our legal system in Canada. The first point is notice. The applicant must be given adequate notice of the nature and proceedings and of the issue to be decided. The issue to be decided in the commissioner's report became Councillor Shaughnessy's personality as characterized as problematic, outspoken activist when measured against an artificial, obedient, uninquisitive ideal. This issue arose from the commissioner, not from the original complaints. proper notice is not given. Disclosure, depending on the nature of the case, all evidence to be used against an applicant must be disclosed. The only evidence referred obliquely are newspaper articles by a reporter, a letter to the editor, and an unreferenced quote from some member of council during a recent council meeting. All other evidence remains undisclosed hearsay. I point out that confidentiality is important for staff interviews. The names of individual staff and their positions should not be disclosed. The content of the interviews form part of the evidence relied upon by the commissioner and must be disclosed. There's no evidence of that type given. Opportunity to present one's case. The accused must be provided with an opportunity to present whatever evidence they wish to be considered. Councillor Shaughnessy was given 10 days to respond to the three original complaints. Subsequent additions to the original complaints were not provided to Councillor Shaughnessy, nor the contents of any interviews provided. Unreported interviews remain as hearsay, the weakest form of evidence that is not tested through cross-examination. It should be noted that where the credibility of the individuals at issue, the principles of natural justice and procedural fairness usually require an interview or an oral hearing before making a decision. Councillor Shaughnessy has not had an opportunity to present her case as the issue evolved in secret from the original three complaints. Opportunity to respond. When the decision maker is in possession of evidence not presented to the accused, they must be allowed the accused an opportunity to know and respond to that evidence. Councillor Shaughnessy has had no opportunity to know what the evidence relied upon by the integrity commissioner was, and therefore has not been able to address the case to be met. The issue to be decided became Councillor Shaughnessy's outspoken personality. I point out it's an important trait for a municipal representative under the role of council in the Municipal Act. Duty to consider all evidence. The decision maker is required to consider all of the relevant evidence and information pertaining to a specific case. Has there not been full disclosure of the hearsay evidence, the relevance of information relied upon are unknown. Legitimate expectation is probably one of the most important issues we've got before us today. The Public Inquiries Act, the Municipal Act, and Code of Conduct have not been followed. Public Inquiries Act, Section 17, 1. A commission shall not find misconduct by a person unless a reasonable notice of the possible finding and a summary of the evidence supporting the possible finding have been given to that person, and b, the person has been given a reasonable opportunity to respond. Municipal Act, ombudsman may hear or obtain information from such persons as he or thinks she's fit and may make such inquiries as he or she thinks fit. But if any time during the course of an investigation it appears to the ombudsman that there may be sufficient grounds for him or her to make any report or recommendation that may adversely affect any other person, the ombudsman shall give him, her, or it an opportunity to make representations respecting the adverse report or recommendation, either personally or by counsel. Not done. Gallatin Code of Conduct 14.6. If the report of the integrity commissioner includes sanctions of a pecuniary nature, such as the replacement of property or its value of money spent or suspension of remuneration paid to the member, then the member shall not have a right of reply. In lieu of a right of reply, the integrity commissioner shall invite the member to submit a written response to the report. Not done. There's been no invitation to Councillor Shaughnessy by the town's integrity commissioner to submit a written response to his report. Instead, the report dated April 11, 2017 was distributed to the clerk, the three complainants, and Councillor Shaughnessy by email the same day as completed, with direction to the clerk to place it in the next council meeting agenda. The accused must have the opportunity to disabuse the commissioner of his concerns. The statutory provision for representations respecting the adverse report and recommendation has been arbitrarily denied. The commissioner's report is not properly before counsel. There's a right to an impartial decision maker from freedom of bias. Decision makers must not allow personal beliefs or interests to influence their decisions. The application must be studied impartially and without regard to what the decision maker considers to be a good citizen. The application does not have to prove that the decision maker was biased. The mere possibility of bias may be enough to show bias. The commissioner's construction of Councillor Shaughnessy's personality as an activist, community member, outspoken, uses unparliamentary language, name-calling, stormed out of meetings, apparent disregard for rules and processes, persistent failure to conduct herself with decorum and in accordance with the town's procedure bylaw. All claims made without a single example from the record sets up an apprehension of bias held by the commissioner. In contrast, to the commissioner's construction of the manner in which Councillor Shaughnessy has conducted herself, the commissioner goes on to quote his notion of the ideal counselor, who only comments when staff report comes to council, no matter how important the issue might be to the ward residents, and quotes and with admiration a counselor's comment made at a recent council meeting. I just wanted to say from my perspective there should not be influence of council on a staff report. We are there to let staff do their work, their professional work, unencumbered, and then we speak to it when it comes to this council table. So I'm not sure, but I just wanted to make clear for me that if there's a big Ward 5 issue, I don't expect to, by the very nature, be able to influence a report that comes to council. My job is to have my influence here amongst my peers. Compliant obedience is the ideal behavior of a counselor against which a counselor Shaughnessy's constructed personality as outspoken and disruptive as compared. I'll tell you, I was on council here for 9 years. I worked on the aggregate policies for 9 years. I worked constantly with staff. I didn't report to the CAO. I talked to the planners all the time. Same thing with the pesticides bylaw. Work with the bylaw staff all the time. You have to have input on policy. There are additional factors that demonstrate bias by the commissioner. Prior involvement in the file. The commissioner quotes having met with Councillor Shaughnessy several times. So he's familiar with the poor relationships on council. A relationship between the decision maker and one of the parties. Well, the integrity commissioner is a contract employee of the town. Marked hostility towards the accused. The commissioner makes a threat against Councillor Shaughnessy in his report. Quote, I do have some concern that despite the results of these complaints and my subsequent investigation and sanctions, Councillor Shaughnessy may find it difficult to modify her approach. I wish to make it clear that should the conduct that I have found to be in breach of the code of conduct in this investigation continue, I will expect that further complaints will be filed with my office, and I will treat such complaints in the context of this investigation. For clarity, in the event that further conduct that I conclude is offensive to the code occurs, I will impose more onerous sanctions. Put plainly, while this investigation is now complete, my file will remain open. End quote. This is a presumptuous statement and a threat, clearly hostile to Councillor Shaughnessy and indicates how he has interpreted hearsay evidence claims throughout the report. The commissioner has fettered his future discretion. I see I'm out of time. In addition, there's a possibility of financial benefit from the outcome of the proceedings. Well, a contractor wants to get rehired. Institutional independence is a problem. The accused has a right to reasons. Then there was a clear bias by counsel as a whole. The CAO and two counselors filed a complaint, then acted as witnesses to the investigation and now sit as judges. This is a bizarre legal situation. There is no hope of procedural fairness. In closing, I have five requests of counsel. One, refer the report back to the Integrity Commissioner as unacceptable under the principles of natural justice and the Public Inquiries Act. Two, apologize to Councillor Shaughnessy for the flawed process and findings. Three, use the Provincial Ombudsman for all future Code of Conduct complaints. Four, counsel to urgently obtain training in constructive group dynamics and debate to solve the unproductive antagonism among council members that's now harming Caledon. Five, reform Code of Conduct sections 14.4 and 14.6 to properly implement the Public Inquiries Act, section 17. You have any questions, Mr. Chairman?
Thank you, Mr. Sinclair. I see none on the board. Thank you for your delegation. I would now like to call upon Mr. John Rutter to approach the podium to provide a delegation concerning Integrity Commissioner's report dated April 11th, 2017. Please note that in accordance with the procedural bylaw, you're provided 10 minutes for your delegation. Welcome, Mr. Rutter.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, councillors. This is not an easy situation to be in. However, I can't help but find it somewhat ironic that I found out about this report last Thursday, Maundy Thursday, which, as we all know, is the day before Good Friday, the day on which, as we all know, an unwarranted act was carried out by members of their own against one of their own. If you stop and think about it and remove the religious implications, there are similarities when compared to what is happening here today. You have already heard from previous delegates about disputing the technical parameters of the Integrity Commissioner's report. I am here as a delegate to talk about Councillor Shaughnessy as a person and as a friend. I have known Barbara for some time now and have found her to be very approachable and very willing to go out of her way to help me with any council issues that I may have. I do believe that many of the issues complained about have a lot to do with her personality and mannerisms. Is she honest? Is she tenacious? Does she represent her constituents? Can she be intimidating? Maybe, but not offensively. Is she like a bull in a china shop? The answer to all these questions is absolutely. Could her approach to dealing with issues and being persistent enough to get answers to questions that her constituents want answered be considered aggressive? Absolutely. All of the above human characteristics describe Councillor Shaughnessy. But having said that, taking into account all of the meetings that I have sat through and all the times that I have heard Councillor Shaughnessy debate, move motions, question staff, in no way have I ever seen or even suspected Councillor Shaughnessy of being in contravention of the Councillor's Code of Conduct. At the end of the day, should I have an issue to be brought before Council, there is no other Councillor that I would rather have representing my concerns than Councillor Shaughnessy. And I do believe very strongly that you would find that the same sentiment is true of most of her constituents. As I relayed to the Integrity Commission yesterday, I consider it very sad that things have progressed to this level. and instances such as this do absolutely nothing to quell the overwhelming skepticism about the purpose and direction of this council that runs rampant throughout Caledon's electorate. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rutter. I see no questions on the board. I thank you for your delegation. I would now like to call upon Michael Ellis to approach the podium to provide a delegation concerning Integrity Commissioner's report dated April 11th, 2017. Welcome, and please note in accordance with the procedural bylaw, you are provided 10 minutes for your delegation. Thank you.
You're welcome. Mr. Chairman, before we start, I would ask you to ask Councillor Ennis to not smirk when she hears something she doesn't like. It is kind of not good. We're seeing it. It's not good. I wish to submit a letter to the council from Mr. Garth Turner. He couldn't be here today, but he has done a letter that he wishes. I can either read it or you all have a copy of it. It states regarding Councillor Bob Shaughnessy, by Honorable Garth Turner, PC, owner, Bellefontaine General Store, Senior Vice President, Private Client Division, Raymond James Limited, former Member of Parliament for Halton and Halton Peel, former Minister of National Revenue, Canada. I have been asked to comment on Councillor Shaughnessy while not being in a position to pass judgment in any way upon the charges or allegations recently brought against her. I can nonetheless share some of my experiences with her as a representative for Bellefontaine Village. Prior to reacquiring this Caledon business at the end of 2015, I contacted her to determine the wisdom of my move from a community benefit point of view. She provided me with frank, unvarnished, practical, and very useful information, focused on the statement that nobody wants a dead building in the heart of the hamlet. Her counsel regarding what she felt was best for Bellefontaine and what would support a large investment on my part was instrumental in the decision to purchase this property, restore it, and open what is now a rewarding business. Councillor Shaughnessy was also responsive, attentive, and helpful once upon enterprise was in operation in assisting with minor issues of customer washrooms and signage. On the larger issue of traffic management, tourism, and fall colors, she absorbed and responded to my concerns and those of other business owners, even as she took an opposing view. We are now to be working cooperatively in this regard. As a local business owner, Caledon resident, and former elected official, I understand the complexities of representing many competing interests simultaneously, yet retaining one's own opinions and motivations for seeking office. This is overwhelming, especially in the first few years of public life. The best we can expect of politicians is to listen, be fair, be consistent, then willingly submit to judgment by those they have impacted. In our experience, Councillor Shaughnessy has thus far passed that test. Having read that, I will read mine. This goes after Mr. Galloway. And you're going to say, I have to be to the subject. I didn't put the complaints in. They did. I'm only responding to these complaints. I also wish to raise a concern about Mr. Galloway. The CEO of any organization should endeavor to facilitate the smooth operation of any corporation. This should be his first concern. I do not see anywhere in his complaint that he tried to resolve this matter by speaking to Councillor Shaughnessy. If his staff had indeed complained about her conduct, then if there is no resolution in this informal meeting, the next step should have been to go to HR. Apparently, none of these steps were taken. Instead, he escalated the situation until it became toxic to everyone, both staff and to all you council members. And I submit, not doing his job to make the corporation run smoothly. Just my background, I had 350 employees. Believe me, we had problems. And sometimes they resolved on a low level, and sometimes they went to HR, and sometimes they even went to court. This is kind of like court, okay? It has to be resolved nicely. He didn't do his job. Matter of fact, he had worked for us. He had gotten a letter in his file. I am also very puzzled as to the timing of Mr. Galloway's submissions to the Council of Conduct. The timing seems very suspicious. It seems to mirror the complaints from both Councillor Downey and Councillor Innes, with the added bonus of the staff. They're identical. Why has the CAO not been working to bring councillors and staff together to cooperate as a team, rather than allowing all this discord to happen? I leave that as part of the CAO's job also. Further, Callanan is not represented, is not respected by Peel Region to do its own planning, since the councillors can't even get along. The CAO has a responsibility in this area also. He hasn't smoothed the waters over since taking office. He hasn't shown neutrality. He has fanned the flames and so has contributed to jeopardizing Callanan's planning authority. I do expect my councillor to keep me informed as to what is happening at council meetings, and she does a very good job of that and is very transparent. I also understand that some things talked about in camera at these meetings must be kept in strict confidence. I do not believe that at any point Councillor Shaughnessy broke your rule 4.4. I believe that in-camera meetings should only involve disputes between constituents and legal matters concerning council itself. Everything else should be transparent. And if it's not, you got problems. In my opinion, 4.3 and 4.4 are breached by various council members every day. And I will give you an example of that. I was recently at a meeting on traffic in around traffic concerns in around Ward 1, where we had two councillors attend, along with two councillors and a bunch of staff, both from the region and from the town of Caledon. Both councillors expressed their opinion for and against various ideas in front of other staff members. Could this not be constituted as undue influence on staff? And I may say, Mr. Mayor, have you ever talked to the Legion or anywhere and you present your ideas? Staff hears that. Is that not undue? Or indeed, when an election's about to come, which you're about to go into in about a year, year and a half, does that, when you stand up in front of a crowd at a town hall or something and say, my position is ABC, are you not influencing staff at that point also? Because they hear you say that. They don't want to lose their job. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I mean, I don't think Councillor Shaughnessy has done anything. And that. Oh, one more little thing. In closing, I request the council refer the report back to the Integrity Commission under the principles of natural justice. Apologize, Councillor Shaughnessy, for a flawed process. How do you think this will go? And in brackets, this is my own saying. This isn't not Ian's. How do you think this will go over in Brampton and Mississauga, who already seem to think town council is a bunch of incompetent farmers from a rural Caledon, already stated and minuted? Use the provincial, and I'd like them to use the provincial for all future code of conduct complaints, where we know it will be impartial. Council to urgently obtain training in constructive group dynamics and debate to solve the unproductive antagonism among council members who are harming Caledon. Reform code, something the CAO should have already told you to update. That's his job. Does council really want to open up another Pandora's box? And lastly, other than what I just did in the closing, everything else is my opinion. It has not come from anyone else. It is my opinion from reading this stuff that you guys sent out. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Ellis.
Thank you. I have one question, yes. Councillor DeBoer.
I think you make some interesting points, and I think it's important because you do mention the CAO and his role of making us work together. I think it's important at this point that maybe the CAO can explain his role, but I think it's also important for Alan, the mayor, to explain how within the organization how the two work. I also think it's very important for you when you talk about council having an impact on whether a staff member gets fired or not. I think that's something that needs to be covered because you made the accusation that staff are going to listen to what council says and you just make a decision that based on...
No, I didn't make that accusation. I didn't make that accusation. I said that if I say something when I was an owner of a company, with 350 employees, if I said something, and even if it was an off-the-cuff comment or whatever, okay, it is very difficult for a staff member who is sitting there and listens to it and goes, I wonder.
Okay,
I'm not accusing any of you of doing
that. I think that's important because I think there is, and I'm hoping the CAO picks up on, or Alan picks up on where your statements are, but I think the separation between the role of staff and the separation of the role of council and the role of mayor and the role of CAO
are
quite well defined.
I agree.
And I don't think, I know that
that point doesn't fit
here.
Then my question back to you is, how did the three complaints go 1, 2, 3 on three different days? I mean, come on, stand back and think about it. If Downey and Innes had put their complaints in, hey, that's fair game. And I agree with them, that's fair game. But when he put his complaint in with the same things, what, there's no collusion? They haven't talked to each other? This just dropped out of the sky? God zapped them and went, oh! Okay? His job is to protect his staff from you and me. Okay? That's his job, is to protect his staff. And to advise all of you on what to do. If you're going to step over the bounds or outside of the rules of Ontario's laws or whatever, his job is saying, and you've got a lawyer, but his job is saying, you know, you might not want to do that, or you might not want to do this, okay? To advise you. It doesn't mean you have to follow, but to advise you.
That I think that that's not entirely correct, but I do thank you for taking the time to come out, and I think it's important that there is a separation. I think everybody needs to understand as far as how the role plays.
And I don't see a separation by what has happened here. I don't see a separation. If he had just talked about his staff, that would have been fine. But he didn't. He said exactly the same thing as both of them. Where's the separation? Or did it come up in his sleep?
Yeah. And I think, yeah, we can discuss this on. Thanks.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
Sorry?
Any more questions?
I see none. Thank you, Mr. Ellis, for your delegation.
Thank you.
I would now like to call upon Mr. Ian McCallum to approach the podium to provide a delegation concerning Integrity Commissioner's report dated April 11th, 2017. You won't be speaking. Okay. That is withdrawn. Next delegate, I have Karen Allison. If you could please approach the podium to provide a delegation concerning Integrity Commissioner's report dated April 11th, 2017. Welcome, and please note that in accordance with the procedural bylaw, you are provided 10 minutes for your delegation.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Okay. My name is Karen Allison, and I live in Ward 1, and Barb Shaughnessy is our regional counselor. I found that Councillor Shaughnessy does her job well and does what she promised during her election campaign. My experience is that she's honest, transparent, and works hard to represent her Ward 1 constituents fairly and bring our issues forward. In October of 2016, I and several other residents wrote a letter to a counselor delivered through the clerk's office. We wrote this letter because we attended a council meeting and were shocked by the rudeness and hostility we witnessed towards Councillor Shaughnessy. This was not the only meeting where such things happened. The person to whom the letter was addressed has never given us the courtesy of a response. And as far as I know, the concerns in our letter have never been addressed. We learned later that the letter may have been forwarded to the Integrity Commissioner. This person did not contact us either. This year, we learned that several complaints had been lodged against Councillor Shaughnessy by other councillors. Is this a coincidence? To my knowledge, Councillor Shaughnessy has never seen our letter. That being the case, imagine our surprise when we learned that she was accused of instigating it. How insulting. Is it possible that some councillors think the residents of Ward 1 are not capable of writing a letter of complaint on our own initiative? Or that we would vote someone into office and then not stand up for her rights? Or that we're too stupid to notice blatant unfairness when we see it? We do notice what goes on at council. We are watching, and we are deeply concerned about what we see going on here. Imagine our further surprise at finding out that complaints against Councillor Shaughnessy had recently been lodged, as I mentioned, and that the Integrity Commissioner, who I believe is meant to be a neutral party, appears to be siding with the complainants. I find it interesting that the Integrity Commissioner responded to the complaints about Councillor Shaughnessy, but has never contacted us. No one has responded to us regarding our complaint about a different councillor, which predates these recent complaints by several months. It seems very suspicious that no one has responded to us, and unfortunately undermines our belief in the integrity of our municipal government. In our letter, we requested respect and civility towards our councillor. Not only because we believe that all councillors deserve to be treated with courtesy and respect, but because there is a much bigger issue at stake. When our elected representative is doing her job of presenting Ward 1's issues and concerns to council and staff, and you shut her down, it seems to me you are telling the residents of Ward 1 that we do not deserve equal democratic representation. I certainly hope that no one on this council thinks Ward 1 does not deserve an equal voice. I further hope that no one here would be petty enough to block Councillor Shaughnessy from doing her job. Caledon is at a critical stage in its history. We need our town council to work together as a strong team while Caledon moves through the challenges that face us in the 21st century. Planning in Caledon has already been taken away by Brampton and Mississauga. Do we want more of our governing process to be taken away because council is too busy with infighting and criticizing Councillor Shaughnessy to focus on the issues? If this cliquish infighting and the attacks on Councillor Shaughnessy were happening at a children's school, they would be condemned as bullying. I find this behavior reprehensible. And for a resident of Caledon, it is very disheartening to watch council behave so dysfunctionally. In conclusion, I would like to see four things happen. One, the report against Councillor Shaughnessy should be withdrawn. Two, a formal apology should be made to Councillor Shaughnessy. Three, all councillors should update their training in constructive communication, debate, and conduct. And I would highly recommend training in nonviolent communication. And four, that when a group of citizens contacts anyone in this government regarding a problem, that you have the courtesy and professionalism to respond to us directly. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Allison.
Questions?
I see none on the board, so I thank you for your delegation. Councillor Innes, the next delegation is to High Street. Do you want to resume the seat? Okay, I'll continue chairing. We will now move on to delegations regarding notice of motion regarding High Street. Before we move on to delegations regarding notices of motion on High Street, I'd like to remind all delegates that you provided 10 minutes to speak. Comments from members of council for each delegate would be limited to questions of clarification only. I would now like to call upon Pat Coe, President, Terracotta Community Center, to approach the podium to provide a delegation concerning High Street Parking Ward 2. Welcome.
Is Devin coming back?
Yes, he'll be back momentarily.
Okay.
Do you have something to distribute?
Well, I was just going to put something on the
screen. Oh, okay. Shh. She's going to be in a second.
That's fine. Okay. Chair? Yes? I can wait. I don't know where she went. There she comes.
We just need something put on the teleprompter.
Is there something to put on the monitor? It's not too good.
Might look better if we removed it from the plastic backing. That's perfect.
That's okay. Chair, Mayor Thompson, councilors.
You might need to pull the mic just down a bit.
Oh, I'm a little short.
Perfect.
Is that better?
Yeah, it's better.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to express our concerns regarding the one-way status on High Street in Terracotta, upon which stands, as you see, the Terracotta Community Center that was built in 1862, 155 years ago. High Street was amended on July the 7th, 2015, from a two-way street to one-way status southbound. It was to be reviewed in 1 year, and since there were no complaints or concerns, no further actions were taken. The Terracotta Community Center directors were not notified of the review and were waiting to voice our concerns at that time with the following issues. Implementing the one-way status has seriously reduced parking on High Street needed for events at the hall. Our capacity is for 90, and it requires more than 8 parking spaces on site, once one which is an accessible parking space. The one-way status southbound requires following Isabella Street North from King Street, turning right onto High Street, making it very difficult to find if you are not familiar with the area. Vehicles, including High Street residents, have often turned northbound onto High Street anyway. High Street residents used safety concern of the busing of students as another reason for the one-way. However, there is no traffic or events occurring at the Terracotta Community Center during busing hours. One-way parking has made it necessary to provide more on-site parking, and this amendment is currently in progress, and we are presently awaiting a response. In the July 2009 ruling, Ms. Sylvie Smith, manager of development for the town, had no concerns with on- or off-site parking. To reverse the one-way status northbound, would allow for more parking along High Street, as well as open up 15 more parking spaces on site. We now have 8. And it would solve the issues above, i.e. vehicles traveling the wrong way, parking needed for events, etc. And could I show a picture of that?
Absolutely.
Okay. As you can see in the red, by changing the one-way status, going the opposite direction would give us a lot more parking spaces, and it would also allow us to apply for the on-site parking of 15 parking spots on-site in our sort of above parking area, which is what we need for 90 people to take use of the events at the hall. Before the restoration, there were no complaints about parking on site or on High Street. We are stewards of the Terracotta Community Center. It is nearing completion. This was taken this morning. It is nearing completion, and it is our responsibility to look after it now and for generations to come. In closing, without additional parking, it will not be able to sustain itself financially, as well as for any public use, now or in the future. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you much, very much, Ms. Cole. Councillor Downey.
Thank you, through you, Chair Mezzapelli. Thank you for your presentation, Pat. Thanks for coming today. I appreciate it. It's my understanding that the community center has a site plan in the planning department as of now.
That's correct.
It's currently in the process?
It is.
Okay. At the appropriate time when the report comes forward, I'll be requesting a deferral of the motion based on the fact that the site plan has not yet been complete. From my view, the cart's before the horse here in terms of getting that site plan complete and then reviewing the status of the road parking. I'm not sure if we can bring it forward now or wait till it comes up through the agenda, but after speaking with some of your colleagues before the meeting started, my opinion is that that would be the best route to take in order to find a compromise between the community center parking and the residents of High Street. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Thank you, Councillor Downey. Councillor McClure. Again, sorry, just to make sure that the questions of clarification.
Yes, thanks for your presentation. You've got a good number of your terracotta community out here. I appreciate that. And I think we should do everything in our power to help. They're the caretakers of this hall, and they're trying to keep it going. And I think we should do whatever it takes to give them more parking. Okay, that's all I got.
Thank you, Councillor McClure. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you. I wish I had been here to hear your delegation, but I do remember when it came before us last time when we were doing all the restrictions. And one thing I want you to understand is that I fully support making sure that that building is healthy and stays there for the future, and parking is a necessity, not just within your community, but every one of our small communities. And it's terribly lacking. So anything that this council can do to help make that a healthy building, I think we have to do it. So I will defer this to, I worry about deferrals. So maybe I can, because I stepped out, I want to ask a question. When is this become, I understand it's coming before Committee of Adjustment.
I'm wondering if it might be better to have the discussion when the motion comes forward. These are supposed to be questions of the delegate.
I wasn't here, unfortunately.
No, I know, but procedurally, we're to ask questions of the delegate.
When it's coming forward to Committee of Adjustment? Have you been told?
We are waiting for an appointment with Elaine Long.
So you don't know?
No, okay. We have requested an appointment and we're waiting for a response.
Okay, that's good. My caution is that sometimes deferrals, nobody ever puts a date for it to come back, and it makes it very difficult for a counselor to follow up with it. So any deferral needs to have a deferral date that it has to come back to us. If it not, it will get lost in the shuffle.
How do we do that?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Shaughnessy. Councillor Beffert.
Thank you for taking the time to come and present. I just have a question about your first couple of pictures. You indicated at one point that the parking lot was empty, and I just want to know the rationale for that. I know it's a one-way southbound,
yes.
And you're saying that cars are parking on the side that the hall is on,
yes,
and thereby
that's
correct. Preventing people from getting into the legitimate parking spots at the town hall. Is that correct?
They can get into the parking spots that are there now. We were asking for seven more spots.
Seven more, okay. Thank you. I just wanted to clarify that. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Councillor Beffert. I see no more questions, so I thank you, Ms. Coe, for your delegation.
Thank you.
Lastly, I would like to call upon Mr. John Rutter to approach the podium, providing a delegation concerning High Street Parking Ward 2. Welcome. You have 10 minutes for your delegation.
I'll be brief on this one. As Councillor Downey and DeBoer and Councillor McClure know, we have had discussions prior to the meeting, and yes, Joanna Downey is correct in the respect that when the motion comes before you, it will probably be deferred. My only point is, as Councillor Shaughnessy just brought up, she kind of took the wind out of my sails, but At that point, if we're all absent, because I have to go and pick up my wife at the airport, can I count on somebody here putting a date in conjunction after communicating with staff or whomever, some kind of a time frame that we will in fact get a response on the submitted, proposed, whatever?
Yeah, you know, I believe it's that committee of adjustment? Or
I don't know where it is.
Right. So I think there's been a number of councillors who have noted the importance of having a date so it doesn't get lost and gets tracked. So I
agree
feel confident.
With Barbara 100%.
I feel confident saying that that would be attached to that request.
Deferred and you never.
Okay.
They get lost. Okay.
Councillor DeBoer, if there's a question for you, just one sec. Councillor DeBoer.
Actually, that wasn't going to be a question. That was going to be my commitment that we would make sure with the planning staff that's on this file, because we did have a conversation earlier, that we'd communicate with her, because we need to know the timing of when it goes to the committee and stuff, too. So there's a bunch of pieces to know to put a date in, but we would be committed to trying to do that.
Okay. And just as a further comment, my wife and I, we are responsible for having started and continuous. We speak to run Friday night euchres at the hall. We hold them every first and third Friday of the month, and parking is definitely a concern. And we are averaging 5 tables at the moment, and that more than fills our parking lot, as Councillor McClure knows. He actually came and visited us once and won the 50-50. Anyway, thank you very much, Council. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rutter. Oh, sorry, Councillor Shaughnessy. There's one more question, Mr. Rutter.
You sort of answered my question, Mr. Rutter, about events. What came to my mind, and I wrote down on a piece of paper here, is this sounds like it's not coming back to the next committee of adjustment. It could come on the next, so we could be months away before ever having an answer, and we probably have numerous events taking place there. So I'm going to ask staff, is there no way we could issue a temporary permit to allow the parking to be on the side of the road until the
Councilor
decision
Shaughnessy,
of council?
Can I make a request that we deal with this when the motion comes
that's
forward?
Fine.
And then
that's fine.
Perfect. Okay.
Okay, John, you're fine. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rutter.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Nuss, did you want to resume? Sure. Okay. Would council be okay with a 5-minute recess prior to the... Okay, so 5-minute recess. We'll resume at 2:30. Thank you. To resume session. First report that was held is staff report 2017-54 regarding waiving of 2017 farmers market fees for the Bolton Farmers Market. And this was held by Councillor Downey. Sorry, bear with me a moment. The motion reads that the 2017 Bolton Farmers Market fee be waived in the amount of $1,002.60. I need a mover and a seconder. Mayor Thompson, need a seconder. Councillor DeBoer. This was held by Councillor Downey. Councillor Downey.
Thank you. Through you, Chair Mazzapelli. I held this report mainly kind of on the principles of equity. And a lot of the items listed within the report and the reasoning behind waiving the fees for the Bolton Farmers Market apply to the other two farmers markets as well. So from my standpoint, if we're waiving for one, we waive for all. If we're in the business of building community and supporting the local farmers markets, I would see that they would be, that it would be done for all. And I have an amendment as well. I'll table the amendment as well.
Just I'm wondering I wonder if staff can speak to the question of, or the point of the CEO Galloway.
Yes, through you, Mr. Chairman, to Councillor Downey. We did have this thorough discussion behind the scenes once this report was put onto the agenda. And my understanding, and certainly the General Manager of Community Services could pipe in at any time, but the distinct impression between the three farmers markets was that the Bolton Farmers Market does not have any town involvement as it relates to staff resources. Whereas, and like I said, what I've been told is that the other two farmers market have trash pickup and other necessities that are done through the town's staff complement. Therefore, that was the differentiation between the two farmers markets versus the Bolton Farmers Market.
Thank you, Mr. Galloway. Go ahead, Councillor Downey, you still have the floor.
So, I guess... my comment to that would be that, yes, they do have those services, but they pay for them through the rental of the space that they're using for the farmers market, which is another fee that they incur while trying to run their markets. So, I look to my colleagues if they choose to support or not support. I think I would also like to add to the amendment waiving the fees for farmers markets also be, like in my amendment, it's only for 2017, that it be reviewed as an ongoing basis, and that our economic development department look into comprehensive ways of working with all three farmers markets and developing a program that will help them do what they do.
Thank you, Councillor Downey. Councillor DeBoer.
I just was hoping maybe I get that run through again as to what the farmers markets were. I kind of got lost on the CAO's explanation a little bit.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, to Councillor DeBoer. What has been explained to me through our discussions when I had questioned this report before it was put onto the agenda is that the two farmers markets that are not in Bolton have staff resources attached to cleanup and other initiatives that staff do for them on a weekly basis, whereas the Bolton Farmers Market has no staff resources and no staff involvement, therefore the justification for the waiving of the fees.
So the fees aren't associated with the use of the property, because I believe they're on the public parking spot, right? The public parking area, the Green Pea parking lot.
I stand to be corrected, Councillor DeBoer. The general manager can maybe help me out on that. I always thought that specific parking was free on weekends and was a free lot during the Saturday to Sunday period.
So I guess the question would be is, do we permit, like charge a permit fee or anything like that?
Did Ms. Johnson want to respond to the...
Thank you, Chair, Ms. Pelley. Through the chair, there's a couple of distinctions that we need to make. First of all, the Bolton Farmers Market is actually on a civic parking lot, so it doesn't fall under the same fee structure as our park rentals, which are part of community services. The other two markets, Inglewood and Southfields, they are on a community community space. So whether it's done as a park rental, that's a different service. Support goes to that rental as opposed to the Bolton Market, which is entirely run by volunteers, and the town has no involvement with that. And it is a free parking lot, so there's no revenue impact either.
So part of the fees, and do they have a fee then that's associated with the rental of the lands in Inglewood and West Valleywood?
Through the chair, we do have fees. I perhaps would let the treasurer, she knows these fees a whole lot better than I do, but there are specific fees for farmers markets, and there are specific fees for parking lots. So I don't know if that, if you need the specifics, perhaps our treasurer can...
I don't need specifics. I think that there is a way to probably use these to promote. And I think within our council work plan, we look at the farmers markets as being an avenue that we should be supporting and looking at promoting. So I guess I would be okay with us looking at the three farmers markets and possibly any more that come, but there's got to be a way to differentiate between, for example, a Caledon farm that's at a Caledon farmer's market and a farmer's market that might be outside the area, because I think we do get some that are here and we do get some that do come from other communities that come here, and to try and promote, to do that next step and to promote the farms that exist within Caledon's boundaries, because if they become successful, then you get the spin-offs and everything else. And I think the intent of the farmer's market is always to increase our overall revenue, to keep the treasurer happy.
Thank you, Councillor DeBoer. Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mr. Galloway. Thank you for that explanation, because I think there were a lot of confusion around it. And I just want to make it clear that the BIA does have a budget, that they budget to pay for the running of the farmers market. So I think your explanation was very adequate and very clear as to how it's distinguished or differentiated, and to you, Ms. Johnson, for that as well. I know that we've approved money through grants or in the budget for the other markets, and I think Councillor DeBoer makes a good point. We're here to promote the local businesses, the farms, the farming people, whoever that comes to these markets. And the Bolton market, I can tell you, has been very successful. It's run successfully. Jimmy Putney, he's on the chair, he's on the BIA board of directors, and he runs a great market down there, and he does so with volunteers. So I don't think that we need to become parochial and doing one for all and all that stuff. The Bolton one is here today. The report is before us. I would ask Council that we support staff's recommendation in waiving the fees, and certainly we can look at the other markets. If the councillors want to bring something forward, they are free to do so. But Bolton is asking, they did apply for grants and through the golf tournament and that to help with some of the things there, but they were unsuccessful. So I have no issues in helping the other two markets. This is our local residents, most of them that are at the market, and we are looking to promote locally grown. We had Karen Hutchinson here last council meeting and did a great job delegating to try and promote grown in Peel and locally grown and all that. So I would ask that this report gets moves forward so that the BIA can move ahead with their plans for the market, because it'll be opening up shortly and there's a lot of work that goes into it, and whatever comes forward for the other two markets, like I said, I have no issues in supporting it as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Groves. Councillor Beffert.
Thank you very much. I too looked at this and was going to bring forward some kind of a motion, but Councillor Downey has done it. I mean, we have done a good job in Bolton of monitoring what's been happening for a number of years, and it's very, very successful. But what happened, and I think part of the success is due to our staff, Sandra Dolson in particular, who has made this thing really work well. Now we've got two offspring. We've got Inglewood and we've got Southfields, and they're struggling. And every year, and I know I work with them, they try to get more money to try and keep it going. They're struggling with who's going to run it. And they need this help. I just look at the report. The two of them together are just slightly over $1,000 that they need just to pay before they get started. So we've got to help them out. So I would support the addition of making sure that all three of our markets are supported this year, whatever way we do that. But, you know, I don't think it's – every year we try. First we go to the agricultural grants. Then we go to the golf grants. I think what's important is that these are essential for our community, for tourism, but also for folks to have good market produce. And each one of them is growing. Each year, they're growing and getting better and getting more market people. So we've got to treat them all the same. That's what the way I see it.
Thank you, Councillor Beffert. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Okay, so I read the report, I get it, and I think the farmers markets are extremely important to Caledon. But not everything is equal. Equitable is a better way of describing At one point, one community may need one thing, and another community needs another. They're not at the same time. They shouldn't necessarily be the same amount of money, et cetera, et cetera. So I find it interesting that anybody could have brought a motion forward, just like the one that I have here today, having to do with holiday decorating in our communities for tourism. I've had that one went through on consent. It's about communities being allowed to decorate their community for holiday season, to encourage tourism, to encourage economic development, and we need to look at that as being a service level. So if this is something that we want to improve in our 2018 budget, to increase it or use it as a service level that we think as a community we need to provide, I think that's really important. And I would support that. But I also, at the same time, I'm saying we have something before us that is critical, and we need to address it now. And so I think my preference would be to support the report right now and then have somebody come back with, instead of amending this, have somebody come back with a proper motion like I did on the holiday one, bring it back, let's include it in the 2018 budget, and then move forward for that. So I'm just letting Bolton know that I do support the farmers market, and I do support having something that addresses it for a future 2018 budget. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Shaughnessy. Councillor Downey.
Thank you. Through you, Chair. To that note, I've added a little bit to my amendment, and I'm happy to read it out at this time, that the 2017 Farmers Market fees be waived for the Southfields Farmers Market and Inglewood Farmers Market in the amount of $1,070 and $1,121, respectively, and that staff be directed to review municipal support for farmers markets in the town on an ongoing basis and develop an equitable model and report back. Okay. And I just also, just to mention that, obviously, in that same vein, I definitely support the Bolton Farmers Markets. I think that all of the volunteers and residents' associations that work towards creating healthy farmers markets in our community are all working really hard, and they're part of our community and something that builds community. I believe that if we support one in this manner, we should be supporting them all. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Downey. Do you have a seconder for your amendment? Councillor Beffert, is there any? I'm going to clear the board. Press the wrong button. And if there's any conversation on the amendment, Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Well, I think the part I would like to see this amended, because what I said in the last delegation was I hate to see anything that says report back. What year? Report back in 2020? Report back in 2019? I don't know. When does that mean report back? I would prefer to see something that said something to the effect report back to council by such and date in order to be included in 2018 budget. If not, we're just dealing with it for this year, but we've made nothing to deal with it for next year and the year after and the year after.
So,
friendly amendment, that's fine. I just think we need to have more clarity.
So I don't know how you want to go about this, if you want to propose an amendment to the amendment, or if you just like... Sorry. Procedurally, I'm told that's the way it needs to be. This is on the table before us. So we need to amend it if that is the will of council. So is there a seconder for Councillor Shaughnessy's looking to put a firm date?
Mm-hmm. And to be included in the...
I'm told it has to be.
I don't know when the markets start.
Councillor Downey is seconding.
That's fine.
Having a firm date. Do we have the date that you'd like to add?
I'd like to know when the other farmer markets start, because there's no point in doing this after they start.
Ms. Johnston?
Through the chair, yes, you're right, Mayor Thompson, they all start in June.
So prior, what's the council, what meeting prior to June 1st then, Madam Clerk, can we add in? No, later than June 1st? Well, that's what I said. Okay, so prior to June 1st, 2018, and to be included, 2017, and to include it as a service level in 2018? Yeah, right. Okay, go for it.
Just from my perspective as chair and as a counselor, I'm not. This is not a comment on the motion before us or the amendment. We go through this a number of times where we put something on the table and it's almost like we're thinking about it on the fly. And I don't know how to go about it, but I think it'd be better procedurally and as a council if there's a way to vet it out fully and then put something on the table that is, if not entirely, largely something to vote on. It's just a thought. It just seems that we go through this a number of times and it just keeps getting amended and amended. But the clerk is just finalizing it. And I will read the amendment to the amendment. I'm going to clear the board again, and we will be speaking to that. So it's moved by Councillor Shaughnessy, seconded by Councillor Downey, that the following words be added to the last paragraph, quote, June 1st, 2017, and to be included for consideration in the 2018 budget process, end quote. Is there any discussion on the amendment to the amendment? Councillor DeBoer.
So what exactly are you going to do on June 1st?
My understanding is that by June 1st there will be a report back that will address all three farmers markets. It indicates in the main motion that market fees be waived. So that would be the principal direction, that there would be no fees for this year and that report would come back by June this year to address all markets on an ongoing basis. Is your mic on?
Was. Did you turn it off again?
And I don't have that power.
You turn your light off.
Sorry, so you have a question of staff?
My question to staff is there enough timeline to give it the thought that we need to have to look at something going forward down the road?
Ms. Johnson.
Through you, Chairman Zappelli, just so I'm clear, if the first part of your motion passes and the fees for 2017 are waived, then we are to report back on an equitable solution for all three farmers markets moving forward. So that would be through the budget process, which would not be June 1st. That would come later toward the summer, July probably.
Well, and that was trying to figure out, because the reality is if we're going to have a program going forward, it would be a budget item.
Right.
So why not waive the fees, move it to budget, and we'll be happy to see you in September.
Through your Councillor Mazzapelli, we would be happy with that as well.
Okay. So procedurally, the problem we have is that the amendment to the amendment speaks to June 1st to report back. So, just a moment. Okay, so based on...
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to call the question.
On what we have before us?
Calling the question on the amendment that's on the floor.
So what do we need for that?
Means we vote.
Just a majority one or two?
Yes, we get it.
Shaughnessy's on the board. So is it a simple majority?
I understand it to be exactly what you said. That was my intention. No. Waive the fees, and then you have a process during budget.
Mm-hmm. But her interpretation is that you want to report back in June. We don't need to report back in June. Waive the fees. Let them spend the whole summer working on it.
Okay. I apologize. So, Councillor Gross, for calling the question, you need someone, a seconder for your Councillor DeBoer. So, all in favor of calling the question? on what we have in front of us, the amendment to the amendment. Any opposed? Okay. Okay, so now we're going to vote on the amendment to the amendment. All those in favor? This is what we have. This was what was being asked to call to question, and we passed that, so now we are voting on this.
Is there a discussion?
So the question has been called, so this is what we have to vote on. All in favor? I haven't seen any hands. All those in favor of the amendment to the amendment, please raise your hands. All opposed? Okay, it fails. Wife did that. Okay, so now we're back to the amendment, which is, thank you, Devin, in front of us. Is there any conversation on the amendment? Councillor Danny, you were on the board. Did you wish to speak to this? Go ahead.
Thank you. Through you, Chair Mazzapelli, I think just to avoid some further confusion, what was left out of the second sentence at the very end would be September 27th budget process. And I think that that will clarify for everybody what we're trying to achieve. The first sentence deals with the report. The second sentence deals with the process moving forward.
So I want to understand, are you saying this as written is not what your motion is? Does it need an amendment?
Yes.
Okay. Then do you have a seconder?
Yes.
Okay. Councillor Groves, and could we get that written down so we can put it on the board?
It's right here.
Bear with us a moment. Councillor Downey, with your permission, would you be okay if I ask a question regarding your motion? It's of staff. Have either the Southfields or the Ingold Farmer Markets applied for and received this grant? Ms. Hare?
Through the chair, or to the chair, the Inglewood Farmers Market has received a municipal agricultural community grant for the 2017 farmers market fees. But we can, right now, what can happen is if this is approved, the evaluation committee can look at redirecting these funds to another organization.
Okay, and the Inglewood Farmers Market? There was no...
We could potentially look at either giving it to the Inglewood Farmers Market for something else, or we could look at giving it to another organization that had applied.
No, but the Southfields Market did receive it, or the Inglewood did? I can't remember what you said.
The Southfields did not receive it. The Inglewood Farmers Market did. The Southfields Farmers Market did not apply for the Farmers Market.
Okay. I just thought that was worthy of knowing. Okay. Is this the updated one? No. Here we go. So by September 27th, 2017 date, but the 2018 budget process. Okay, that's all right. So this, I'm going to clear the board. This is the amendment. I don't know how many amendments this is, but is there any speakers to this? Councillor Groves, you're on the board.
Through you to Ms. Hare. I think that would be a really good suggestion. I remember when we did have the grant that was approved, to the Southfield Villages Market. I know that Councillor Shaughnessy had raised some question about whether the Inglewood Farmers Market could also get some proceeds to help them along. So if we are going to, and it looks like we're going to waive the fees for all three markets, and if that money is there and Inglewood didn't get anything, it might be a good idea to just sort of redirect it over there. I don't know if that's what you were thinking.
Ms. Hare? Mr. Galloway?
Yeah, I'll take over from here. I think that I'd be a little concerned if you're just redirecting money somewhere. We don't know where it's being redirected to. So through you, Mr. Chairman, I think that if there has already been a grant given to one of the farmers markets, we let that stand for fiscal year 2017. The other one, as you've heard, does not receive a grant of any nature. You may want to consider giving or waiving the fees on that specific one. But then what I would suggest is you just look at an evaluation process at the point of the 2018 budget process. If you make it that simple, I'm just really concerned that you're leaving a lot of questions of where $1,000 or $2,000 may be directed, and I just would like to advise Council that you may just want to be a little clearer in the motion to ensure that you don't leave that the option for organizations to come back and indicate that they felt that money was supposed to be directed to them when in fact Council has never given that direction whatsoever. So if you can make it a little clearer, my suggestion would be, if you're looking for some advice and recommendations, is that the original motion that was up on the board, Devin, could you put that up on the board, please? That you would that the 2017 farmers market fees be waived for the Southfields Farmers Market in the amount of their respective amount. Inglewood, as that the treasurer has indicated, has received a donation. No, it was Inglewood, I believe. Yeah, and just leave that first paragraph with Southfields and their amount. And then that staff be directed to review the municipal support for the farmers market in the town on an ongoing basis as part of each budgetary process or cycle. And if you left it as simple as that, it doesn't leave room for confusion and angst for other organizations in our community.
So at the with the advice from Mr. Galloway, what we have in front of us is Councillor Downey's motion, amendment to the amendment. As the mover, are you wishing to stick with this or to take it's your motion.
I'll stick with this amendment, thank you.
Beg your pardon? You're going to leave it as is?
I'll leave this amendment as is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Councillor Beffert.
Well, believe it or not, I really did understand what the CAO had to say. But all I want to make clear to the treasurer is that the Inglewood Farmers Market will not be adversely affected in any way. I don't know how much they received as a grant, but if it was a little more than was on here, they've already made plans because their year is coming up. I just don't want them to be adversely affected and take away any amount of money. So until we get to that point that we decide what to do with all three of them. So if you could make sure that happens, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Beffert. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you very much. So the reason it would have been nice to have the report back was because we're all sitting here guessing what they actually got. And I don't know. I don't remember. But I do know in our grant process it's not always money. Sometimes it's in kind, which means you get the use of the property, but they didn't give you any money. So for me, the clear thing to do, and it's my opinion, is to allow the motion as the one that's in the report. Let's just vote to support it. And then let's bring back another motion to support at the next meeting, so we can still get it before June, so I can get the information, so I know what Southfield got or didn't get, so I know what Inglewood got or didn't get. We're all speculating here. So I would have preferred just to let's vote on the report as it sits, bring back the information to council on the other two so we're not guessing, and then I would be happy to support the other two this year because I do believe in farmers markets. But you're asking me to guess. Everybody's guessing here. I mean, I don't know what it is. Well, it is, Doug, it is, because we don't know whether Inglewood got in kind, which means they get to use just the property for nothing, but they didn't get money. I don't know. It's not before me. So my suggestion would be to let's vote and support the report as it is, and then Councillor Downey could bring back a motion, and we could get this done for the other two next time around. I mean, still in time for this year. Because I actually do agree with the CAO, as I think it's really getting very muddy. Anyways, my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Shaughnessy. Councillor DeBoer.
Oh, I apologize. I'm not going to say that.
Okay, Councillor Beffert.
Could I ask the question? How much did Inglewood get, and was it in kind or cash?
Ms. Herr.
Through the chair to Councillor Beffert, the Inglewood Farmers Market received $1,100 in kind.
So that's $27 difference than what's on the sheet. So I don't think they'd be adversely affected. Thanks.
Okay, I see no more questions. I have one. So with respect to the Inglewood market, I understood that they did receive a grant for the farmers market. Am I misunderstanding that?
Through the chair, they received $1,100 for the farmers markets for the rental fees. So it's an in-kind grant to cover those rental fees that you're proposing to waive.
So monetarily, they do not have to pay the $1,100 for
Correct.
The market?
Correct.
Okay. So the last question I have, and I'll be honest, I philosophically support supporting our farmers markets. I think it would have been cleaner to just follow the recommendation of staff and deal with the other two, because I think we've kind of got muddied here. My concern is about being fair, open, and transparent, though, is as I'm reading this, they have basically had their fees waived for the 2018 market. If 2017, my apologies. But what I'm reading here is, would they be receiving an additional amount, or would it just be the fees for the 2017 year?
To the chair, it would be up to the evaluation committee to figure out how to redirect those funds, whether it goes towards other in-kind fees that the Inglewood Farmers Market would incur, or whether it goes to the next candidate that was evaluated in the Municipal Agricultural Community Grant process. When that report came forward, it did give authority to the evaluation committee to redirect any of the unused Municipal Agricultural Community Grant funds.
Okay, because to me this is getting a little muddy, and I would support having it for this year and a report coming back to be covered. What I'm seeing here is they have received or will be receiving a grant of $1,100, and they will also not be required to pay it. So as I read that, they're getting $1,100 not to do with the farmers market fees. And again, I'd be happy to support all of our local community groups, but it was the intent to get the fees covered, and in the end, because we're waiving it, they're going to be getting $1,100, and I'm sure they'll put it to great use. But from a procedural process perspective, I'm concerned about that. I don't need you to answer that, but I would have preferred that if the grant wasn't issued yet, it would just be held and put into the pool, and they don't have to pay anything, because that's what the motion suggests. But I don't know that that's what will happen. So I'm torn. Councillor DeBoer.
Okay, it's an in-kind in-kind donation, right? So the reality is it's going to be in-kind, and there's no fees. So it's really going to be a wash, and when you get down at the end of it, they're not paying it. We're saying remove it, and we've come to the same conclusion, come to the same spot. It's not like they're paying it and getting it back, correct? So I think we can move on, and we look at supporting what's presented here. Staff are going to come back with a good recommendation at budget time to look at what we can do here and whether it should be separate from the agriculture and community grants and have the farmers markets dealt with separately or guaranteed a spot within it. But we already know that the agricultural grants are already oversubscribed, so we should be thinking about that too.
Thank you, Councillor DeBoer. I have no more speakers. So we are speaking to the amendment, which is adding this paragraph. All those in favor? Any opposed? That is carried. So now we are going to move on to the amendment as amended. Thank you, Devin. Is there any question of this? Seeing none, all those in favor? Opposed? It is carried. Now we are to the main motion as amended. Is everybody following me? All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. The next item that was held is staff report 2017-55 regarding community safety zone Landridge Street south of Allen Drive for a distance of 225 I saw something there. My apologies. The next item that was held is staff report 2017-57 regarding review of the current height restrictions regarding shrubs and hedges in the town's fence bylaw. Okay. So the motion is that option two be selected, remove hedges and shrubs from the definition of a fence in the town's fence bylaw, and that fence bylaw 2005-36 be amended to remove shrubs and hedges from the definition of a fence, and that staff be directed to conduct a full review of the fence bylaw and report back. This was held by me while I was sitting over there. I just had one question of, my apologies, a mover and a seconder. Mayor Thompson, Councillor Innes. I just had one question. With respect to hedges, and I support the recommendation in the report, but from a bylaw property standards perspective, if one were to have a large hedge on their property, their neighbor who also has that hedge, what is the... With what we have now, what is the right or the obligations of the hedge owner to keep that hedge in good repair for their on their neighbor's side, or is it entirely their neighbor's issue? Mr. Trafford?
To you, Chair Mezzampelli. So there are a few things with respect to that. So firstly, as stands, property standards would not be able to regulate height. So if there was an issue with respect to it being unkempt and there was a complaint, that could be regulated. However, with respect to height, staff looked into that and don't feel that height would not be applicable. So we couldn't necessarily address a complaint with respect to height. But if there was a complaint, it would be the individual whose property that the hedge is actually on. So the owner of the hedge, you could regulate with respect to making sure that it was kept in a kempt state from a property standards perspective, but not regulate height.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. I do have other speakers. Councillor Gross. No, Councillor DeBoer.
Yeah, I had asked, I guess, originally when the discussion with staff with regard to this, and it ends up being a prevention from a neighborhood dispute. I think it's important in Caledon We want to have green fences, and this is a way to allow a green fence between private property to be allowed, and we don't end up with neighborhood disputes or neighbor disputes. So this is good. I'm glad that Mr. Tafford had got to came to the good conclusion, and the reality is the town fence bylaw in general needs reviewed, like many, many bylaws that we have, and I know he's enjoying learning all about the idiosyncrasies of what goes on in this community. But this is actually a step forward, and I think that's the important part.
Thank you, Councillor DeBoer. I see no other speakers on the board. All in favor? Any opposed? Carried. The next item that was held is the Integrity Commissioner's Report. Sorry, Councillor Shaughnessy, my apologies. That the report from the Integrity Commissioner concerning Code of Conduct complaints, Councillor Bob Shaughnessy, dated April 11th, 2017, be received. I need a mover and a seconder. Councillor Thompson. Councillor Beffert. This item was held by Councillor Gross.
Thank you. Just a couple of things with respect to the report. First off, I was a little disappointed when I saw this report coming forward. Reading the report was quite disappointing nonetheless. The report questions the councillor's integrity, in my opinion. And I will say, Councillor Shaughnessy, there was a complaint that Councillor Shaughnessy filed with the Integrity Commissioner and chose not to go this route, but rather to find a solution with the party and not to bring this forward in this manner. So when I read this report and I saw the report, I was actually quite disappointed to see that it took this route and not, you know, an opportunity was not provided to somehow resolve this between the folks who complained and Councillor Shaughnessy. So quite disappointed to see that. With respect to some of these complaints, complaint number 1A, matters pertaining to a confidential issue, negotiations, concerns on an OMB matter were commented on in a public letter. I read Councillor Shaughnessy's letter that she wrote, and I really didn't see anything that she disclosed in there on anything that was discussed in camera. I was part of that in camera discussion, and I guess it begs the question that the complainant, Councillor Downey, raised, is that she was not part of that meeting, so I'm not quite sure how she even
Councillor Gross.
I'm sorry, no, Councillor Mezzapelli. I am speaking to the report. Now allow me some leniency to speak. You continue to interrupt. I'm speaking to the report. I'm addressing what's in the report.
Okay.
So I guess that's one concern that I have, is that this was raised. The councillor that raised this was not part of that in-camera meeting, so it raises some concern to me, to say, how do you know what was discussed in there? So that's a concern that I have. With respect to 1B/C, lack of respect for the decision-making process of council, we had Mr. Fred Dean here to speak to council on these sorts of things, the Municipal Act, decision-making, and all that. And one of the things that Mr. Dean pointed out is that the CEO of the corporation, which is the mayor, is the only one who is obligated to uphold the decision of council. members of council are not obligated to do so. So I'm not sure if the integrity commissioner researched this, but certainly I don't think that he did, otherwise he would have known. So I find that really, I don't think he's a lawyer, and I think most integrity commissioners are lawyers, and I think that he really should have done a little bit more research on that. We don't always support council's decisions because we are all here representing constituents, and sometimes our votes and that our decisions are not the same. And I can just think of one decision that this council did not support and continues to go against. And even though the Region Appeal Council decided that, voted on an issue, a development matter, this council has chosen not to support it. They have been vocal, both on social media, both in the newspaper. And so here we go. Where is the fairness? And I think that that's when I read this report. This report lacks fairness. On page 3, the integrity commissioner goes on to speak to Councillor Shaughnessy's advocacy, or as an activist. She has a long history in Caledon as an activist. Well, I think we're all here advocating for our residents. We are all advocates, and we advocate for them by bringing their concerns forward to this table and to any level of government that we need to advocate for. We're advocating for busing to go back, to be reinstated for children that have to cross a very dangerous highway. And I'm out there advocating, I'm out there picketing, I'm out there with signs, I'm talking to the newspaper, I'm talking to local media. We're all advocates. We've gone to the province of Ontario. We don't agree with some of their policies and some of what they're imposing on municipalities, and we're gone. We're advocating on behalf of our residents to the province of Ontario. So I find that a little disheartening in the commissioner's report. Complaint number 1A, he further goes on to talk about on page 3, with respect to the letter dated December 29th, an email date of December 29th. In it, he says, there is no indication in the communication from the OMB case coordinator that the attached message of December 29th was indeed confidential. Therefore, I am unable to make the determination that Councillor Shaughnessy, as she was writing to the editor of the local newspaper, knew that she was sharing information pertaining to a confidential matter. So you've got the OMB case coordinator saying nothing was confidential. These OMB cases are not confidential. They are online. The public can go there and they can access these things. So there was nothing confidential. And like I said, I read Councillor Shaughnessy's letter and I didn't see anything in there that she disclosed that was discussed in the in-camera meeting that this is speaking to. Everything that she wrote about was public. It was available to the public. And when the OMB is saying there was no indication in there that the attached message was confidential, then I have some concerns there. He further goes on to say, therefore, with respect to the specific allegation in the complaint, i.e., that the letter to the editor was a breach of the code, I do not find that it was a breach. So what is this report doing in front of us? This report never should be here. It should not have been here. He doesn't even conclude that it's a breach. He's saying it's not a breach. So why is it here? Then he goes on to say, on complaint 1B, numerous incidents have been related to me describing occasion where Councillor Shaughnessy during meetings of council or committees has used unparliamentary language, engage in name-calling, and stormed out of meetings. We stormed out of the region appeal meeting because we didn't agree with them when they were dealing with the governance issue. And I'm going to tell you, we were ready to storm out again on Thursday because we don't agree with what they're doing with respect to governance. So here we go, right? So it's really the pot calling the kettle black. Sorry. Such behavior does not reflect respect for decision-making process of council, nor does it promote public confidence. Well, I think the public has lost confidence a long time ago with some of what's been happening here. They have stood before us. They have indicated that to us. And so this is, they have lost confidence. Page 7, the commissioner further goes on to say he has some concern that despite the results of these complaints and his subsequent investigation and sanctions, Councillor Shaughnessy may find it difficult to modify her approach. I'm sorry, he's predetermining things. He's not even giving her an opportunity. He's already condemning her. He's already finding her guilty that she is not going to modify her approach. He goes on to say, I will expect that further complaints will be filed with my office, and I will treat such complaints in the context of this investigation. Well, he's just encouraging more dysfunctionality on this council, and he is encouraging, with that statement, he's encouraging more of us to start complaining against each other. He's not looking for a solution. This is just pitting people against one another. I think the public deserve better. This reminds me, honestly, reminds me of elementary school behavior. And this report that this commissioner has put forward is extremely disappointing. He's not looking for a solution. He is going down the road that we're going to continue to complain against one another and file these complaints. For clarity, in the event that further conduct that I conclude is offensive to the code occurs, I will impose more onerous sanctions. Clearly, he's already predetermined that. He's keeping this file open. And frankly, I think it's unfair. I think it's unfair that Councillor Shaughnessy did not have an opportunity to defend herself or to explain anything before this report came forward. I think Mr. Sinclair raised something in his deputation, and it was respect to opportunity to present one's case. The complainants had an opportunity. Councillor Shaughnessy did not. This report, in my opinion, is very weak. It's very accusatory. It's not very factual. And I'm going to tell you, I'm no lawyer, but I think that if this was presented to a judge, I think that the judge would throw this right out of the court. And he'd be saying, what are you doing in my courtroom? You have no evidence. You have nothing to back up what you've written in here. So those are my thoughts. I will ask that there was a request made to defer it back to the commissioner. I would ask that council seriously look at this. This report is unfair. This report never should have been tabled. This report has put in question the credibility of a member of council without that councillor having an opportunity to fairly represent herself. Frankly, I'm also concerned that the complainants are sitting here, are going to vote on this report. In my opinion, you're playing judge, jury, and whatever else you're playing. It is unfair, thank you, judge and jury. It is unfair that the complainants get to vote on this. I think when you go to court and you've committed a so-called crime and you're accused of something, you don't get to vote. You have a jury that votes. I don't understand why the folks who file the complaints, I don't know if that's how it works in other municipalities. I've never been involved in anything like this before, where the council votes and the members of council who file those complaints are allowed to vote. So I'm looking for clarification because I don't know. In my opinion, and it's only my opinion, I don't think that the councillor should be voting on this. I think it's a conflict, but I'm not the expert. So I'm looking for someone to provide some clarification as to whether or not the complainants are allowed to vote on this report. Thank you.
So you have a question that you would like? Is there anyone that would be able to answer the question? I don't know. Councillor, Mr. Gorder.
Thank you. Through the chair to members of council, as you all know and were provided training as members of council, when it comes to Municipal Conflict of Interest Act and declaring a potential pecuniary interest, it is up to each member of council to decide whether they have a potential pecuniary interest. Staff are unable to provide you any advice in regards to that. It is up to each member of council to determine that.
Thank you, Mr. Gorder, but it still doesn't answer my question. So I don't know who can provide. I'm sure there's some legal opinion somewhere that or case law or something. I don't know. That doesn't answer my question.
Go ahead.
Through the chair to Councillor Groves, the Municipal Conflict of Interest Act would be the only thing that would restrict a council member from voting, and that's with respect to pecuniary matters, so there's no legal restriction here. In the past, other councils have voted on it in this manner. That's not to say it's right or wrong, just it has happened.
So other council has voted on it, and are were the complainants, they voted on it?
I believe so, yes.
Right. See, I don't think that's right, and that's just my opinion. But anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Groves. Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. I too am kind of disappointed that this is here. I don't know why amongst us we didn't deal with it and together, including Councillor Shaughnessy. I know I've been at the receiving end of a number of her comments, depending on what position I've been at. As far as I'm concerned, I didn't file a grievance or anything like that, because the reality is I'm not letting it bother me. It is what it is. I think that there was a comment made with the delegation and a letter sent, and the reality was I don't believe, as chair of that meeting, that I did anything wrong as far as trying to maintain coordinated effort and keeping the meeting on track. Some members of council decide that they want to go off into different directions, and that was all I was doing, to try and keep things kind of in track. And as far as receiving a letter of complaint because she wasn't being treated fairly, I think it was kind of, I don't necessarily agree with the findings of the people that wrote that letter. I think it's important to all of us to think about what's going on here, the perception within the community, the perception that we all share, regardless of being one person or being all of us. The reality is we all share it. I've been in this community. I've been on council for over 14 years now. Lived in the county or into Caledon for a long time, and have followed local politics for a long time, like some of us have. And as far as this is concerned, I've been disappointed in what's been going on, and I think we've got to get past this. The report does make recommendations, and I think that there has to be a message sent that this, we got to move beyond it. I know in listening to the mayor, he's attempted to address these issues for quite some time, and they continue. So we need to start doing it this way, but the fact that it hasn't been dealt with is disappointing to me, and that it had to come to this. It's not a high point. This shouldn't be considered a high point within how we operate here. This isn't the way we should be operating. This isn't the way we should be treating each other, and it's unfortunate that we're not all here to listen to this. I, for one, want to receive the report. I'd like to move on. Caledon does have a lot of things we need to deal with, and the region appeal, as Councillor Groves has mentioned, is one of the important things. Storming out of the meeting down there is different than storming out of a meeting here, in that storming out of a meeting at the region appeal is a tactical move that has to be used when the other two municipalities take a position that is contrary to one of the other ones. Brampton has stormed out, Mississauga stormed out, if you want to use the word stormed out. They've left the meeting, and they've all used it. And in fact, I think Caledon, when we used it for the first time we used it, we've actually been one of the fewest users of that tactic down at the region. So there is a totally different reason. I do know, and I have watched. As far as advocating, I think there was one of the delegations that talked about Councillor Shaughnessy being a bull in a china shop and being aggressive. Well, there's nothing wrong with that because I think we do all take a position, but there is a point at when it stops. And when I listen to staff talking about being intimidated, I find that very disheartening for me because there isn't a single building up these stairs or down these stairs that somebody isn't doing a very good job and an excellent job. And we've got great people working here. But for them to think that they need to be intimidated by one of us is totally ridiculous. And they shouldn't have to. And I think from all of us, we all work with staff and Councillor Sinclair. Councillor Sinclair, sorry about that, Ian. retired Councillor Sinclair made a good point. We work with staff on a day-to-day basis, and there's nothing wrong with that if we all realize the position that we have and where we fit within the organization. And that's the part that's missing. We don't run the organization beyond this door, beyond this room. We collectively make decisions based on the recommendations that the great people upstairs do, and they are looking to us to be the leaders here, because it doesn't look good on them either. When they go out to their meetings and other communities for meetings and they find out about the antics that go on, it doesn't look good to them because it doesn't make them feel like they're part of a professional organization. So I think it's time. I've listened to a lot of people within the community and I think it's time that we take this report. We need to move on from it. I'm hoping there's a message there at the bottom that I think we've all kind of looked at, and maybe we need to all look at it. I think Mr. St. Clair did bring it up, and it's at the bottom. We need to certainly start looking at how we're going to move forward. We do have a number of things, irrespective of the governance issue at the region, and this is something that is going to be very important for Caledon. So we have to get past this now. We've got to start looking at the bigger issues. Because the reality is this has just been more of a distraction than it is anything else. And the last thing we need at the point in history we're in is a distraction like this. So I have, I'm going to be supporting what the report is here. I think it's important. I'm also supporting the report because I do know from the experience that I've had is that there's merit to some of the comments made within this report. I think that's about all I want to say.
Thank you, Councillor DeBoer. Councillor Beffert.
It's really difficult for everybody in this room to sit and go through this kind of a report. I guess I missed a lot when I wasn't here for 4 months. But what I didn't miss was reading and listening to the audio to keep up with what's happening at this council. And what I heard was angst. What I heard were bickering. What I heard were things that perhaps, as been said today, we should get over. We should work together. I guess one of the biggest problems I have along that respect is the very last of this report, and I'm not quite clear on what I'm voting for, because it clearly says at the end of the report two things. One is related to financial, and the ethics commissioner, by his mandate, has the right to do that. That's out of my hands. The second one is with respect to education. And again, the way it's worded, I am not comfortable with. He's already said that he has a mandate to do these two things. But now he wants me to recommend it. I won't do that. That's his mandate. That's his mandate. I guess what I prefer to do, even after listening to all of the people who took their time to come today, and I appreciate that, is that we've got to get over this. And I don't know if there's a difference between receiving or tabling. It's already been tabled. It's there. And if there's anybody mentioned in the report that has a comment about somebody else, that's up to them to go and talk to that person, do whatever they have to do with that person. That's not up to us as a council. It's up to our ethics commissioner, and he's taken that stance. And I say these things not because I don't think there's merit in some of the things that were said in the report, not because I don't think some days that there are those issues, but because we all need to work together. We all need to move roughly west together. We talked about a couple of things today. We talked about making sure that there's a date to bring things back. That's a good thing. That's what we do as a council. We also talked about in one of the motions that was passed without discussion about our town helping villages by making sure they can get things up on their posts. That's what it's all about. We talked about giving our markets in Inglewood and Southfields some money to let these volunteers move ahead. That's what it's all about. So again, I'm confused about what I'm voting on, and if I could just say the report's already out there, it's on the agenda, it's been tabled, and if there's an issue between anybody on this council and anybody in the report, then deal with it on your own. But here, it's over. We've listened to it. I'm not saying it wasn't right. Comments were made and perceptions have been set. But the one perception that we've all got is that we need to move forward roughly west together. We have too many things in this town that we need to do together, and we need to do in a way that's professional and that we take the time to read the reports and talk to one another before we come to this table and get it done. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but when I was sitting at home waiting to go back for another treatment, that's damn well what I felt. And I think it's time we just simply not do anything today that will make this report come back to life, but will rather make it be the foundation for how we act as a council. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Beffert. Councillor McClure.
Yes. I've been on this council for 10 and a half or 11 years now, and I've never saw anything so embarrassing as this, that another councillor would accuse another one of misconduct or this is something we just don't do. It wasn't happened at other council meetings. This is something unethical. We should take this damn thing and rip it up and throw it in the garbage. We should all do that. And I hope the... and that's my opinion. This just isn't right. We're not in kindergarten. We're supposed to be counselors. To me, it's just damn embarrassing.
Thank you, Councillor McCurr. Councillor Groves.
Thank you. I can't accept this report. And again, I'm just going to refer back to Mr. Sinclair's point about natural justice and procedural fairness. And I think that that's what it is here. It's fairness. The councillor had no opportunity to put forward her defense, I guess, or her comments, or really to defend herself. And if I read what natural justice and procedural fairness is, it says it's the principles of natural justice exist as a safeguard for individuals in their interactions with the state. These principles stipulate that whenever a person's rights, privileges, or interests are at stake, there is a duty to act in a procedurally fair manner. I don't believe that the commissioner acted in a fair manner. I agree we need to move past this. I've been elected to this council since 2000. We've all had disagreements. I mean, I sat on some councils where we were here for hours and hours and hours debating issues and got into very heated discussions, heated debates, and never once have we ever done anything like this. We talked, we walked out of here, we left, and we left it there. That is what our job is. Yes, sometimes, I mean, I've made comments here, and I was on social, I was being bullied on social media, but you know what? I chose not to respond. I was bullied on social media by some of my colleagues, and I chose not to respond because I'm here to represent my community, my constituents' concerns, and sometimes if it means disagreeing with each other, that's democracy. If we choose to write an article to defend how we voted, well, that's democracy as well. So, you know, again, I don't believe that there was any fairness in here. Very, very disappointing to see it. Councillor DeBoer and I, we've oftentimes disagreed on things, but you know, Not very often. Sometimes. Sometimes we disagree on things, but you know what? We walk out of here, it's done. I may not like what he has to say, and I'll beat him up at the council table, or he might do the same to me. It's done. And again, just to go back, I don't believe Councillor Shaughnessy had the opportunity to defend herself, and therefore I can't accept the commissioner's report. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Groves. Mayor Thompson.
Personally, I'm disappointed that we had to talk about this. I think the report explains things well enough. It's unfortunate it's come to this. And I always say lessons learned going forward, and you move forward and carry on. But with the comments being made, I feel now I have to speak about it. One is the report was brought by the integrity commissioner. He did his job as it needed to be. Twice I brought Fred Dean. I've also brought others to the table to talk on how to conduct ourselves and work forward. I like a spirited council. I like everybody looking from a different lens, because that's how you make good decisions. You don't want everybody kumbaya on the boat at the start. You need to make sure that we make good level decisions being made. But I think if you read this report, especially with the CEO, took some heat today, but he was acting on his staff, and that's his role. That's his role. He brought it forward because the staff felt threatened. If we don't stand up and defend our staff, they're all going to be walking at the door here, and we do have good staff. And unfortunately, we're here, and it's because we've done everything to try to make things work, and unfortunately, it didn't happen. And unfortunately, there isn't an apology, so we cannot deal with this. So we're here, and this is what we're having to deal with. The integrity commissioner did his job. He said some stuff wasn't relevant, and that was talked about today. It's done. It's finished. And it's unfortunate. Now that council's talked about it, now it's going to be in the public and it's going to be in the paper. I just wanted to receive the report and move on. Unfortunately, I'm disappointed to hear how some of the councillors are saying. And listen, I have a great deal of respect for Councillor Shaughnessy and her passion. But there's a way we all have to learn to control ourselves, and we have to have respect, and we have to respect for staff. And if you read what happened with staff, this is an offense. This is bullying. And this has, unfortunately, we're here. So we have to deal with the report. I don't want to talk about this. We're talking about one of our colleagues here, and it's unfortunate. But I think people haven't read the report to really understand what's being said here. And I think if you look at where the CEO is coming from, this is where we have to receive the report and do the right thing. And it's very, very unfortunate. It's too bad. Because, as I'm saying, I hope we all can have as lessons learned moving forward. But unfortunately, this is stuff that isn't good to be talking about. But having said that, I wasn't going to say anything. I was just hoping we could move forward and have it just dealt with without it being laundered all across the town, and unfortunately it had to be discussed here today. So unfortunate.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mayor Thompson, with all due respect, I did read the report. I understood the report. And if we want to talk about what's been brewing, it's been brewing, and now this is in front of us. I have had conversations with you to say, stop, put an end to this. Get all the parties together. Bickering here, bickering there is not what the taxpayers deserve. I have yet to see that with the parties coming together. I have yet to see it. So, unfortunately, it wasn't nipped in the bud, and here we are. I really think that this is about fairness, and I'm just going to stress that it is about fairness. And I don't believe the councillor was treated fairly. I don't believe that she was given or afforded the opportunity to give her side before the commissioner came out with his report. I read it, and the only thing I saw in there were a lot of assumptions. There was nothing factual to back up anything that he said in the report. And so, and again, the councillor had no opportunity to give her side.
Thank you, Councillor Groves. Councillor Downey.
Thank you. Through you, Chair Mazzapelli, I too was hoping that the report would go through on consent without a lot of discussion, but I feel at this point it's necessary to clarify some of the comments being made in regards to fairness through the process. As I was one of the complainants, part of the process was to submit that complaint in writing, which was then given directly to Councillor Shaughnessy, and she did have the opportunity to rebut, which she did. And then that rebuttal was given to me. So through that process, it was an open process with the Integrity Commissioner. There was back and forth, and she was afforded that opportunity, and I think it's important that that is made known to those commenting that that wasn't an opportunity for her because it was in front of her, and I think there actually was a lot of clarity gained within that process. From both sides. So I appreciate that, and I appreciate the level of professionalism that the Integrity Commissioner brought to the process. And I, too, believe that this is a good time to move forward from that. I agree wholeheartedly that across this council, we shouldn't always disagree. We shouldn't always agree. I don't think good decisions are made when we're all in agreement. I think that coming, as Mayor Thompson said, coming at things from different angles is exactly a representative of our community. We don't all think alike. We don't all have the same views, and it's important to carry, you know, what we think to the table and have those debates, and it's important to do it in a respectful manner and to be able to walk out these doors and continue to respect one another and not carry those debates outside of the doors. So I just wanted to add that clarity, and CAO may want to add any clarity to that process as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Downey. Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have to respond. Councillor Shaughnessy obviously is not here to provide any clarification, but when I read the report, I did have a conversation with Councillor Shaughnessy, and that was her response to me, was she was not afforded the same opportunity. So I will again say that there was not that opportunity for Councillor Shaughnessy to respond to the commissioner. So I still believe that the process was unfair. We've had numerous things. I mean, again, I've spoken with the commissioner. I've chosen not to go down and file formal complaints and what have you, because I don't think it is the right thing to do. But I will just say, Councillor Downey, Councillor Shaughnessy has confirmed with me that she was not afforded that opportunity. So I guess I can't call the question because I've been speaking to it, so I can't call the question. Madam Clerk, am I allowed to call the question? No?
Mr. Carter.
Call the question.
Councilor Groves, what is the question you have for the clerk?
There's someone still waiting to speak. That's yes. The council they
want to call. There are other speakers.
So through the chair, similarly as we did earlier this, excuse me, earlier today, if council wishes to call the question, that is, it's a procedural vote in accordance with the procedural bylaws, so 2/3 is required. So if Councillor Groves wants to put that motion on the floor, it requires a seconder and 2/3 vote.
Is there a seconder to the motion to call the question? Councillor McClure. All in favor of calling the question? Opposed? It fails. Yes, but it failed even to get the 50%. Okay, Councillor Downey.
Thank you. Through you, Chair Mazzapelli. I'm not sure how much clearer I have to be, but there was a process in place, and all members within that process had the opportunity to voice and rebut. I have a 10-page document from Councillor Shaughnessy
So I find it a little bit disturbing that Councillor Groves continues to affirm that that was not something that was afforded to all of the members within the process. It was afforded. The opportunity was afforded to us. We all have the documents. I believe that one of the delegates actually had one of the written complaints in hand while delegating council. They were documents of the process. They're written. I'm not sure what else to say to that unless there's some clarification through the process in which we all participated through the clerk.
Mr. Gorder.
So through the chair to members of the committee, I can confirm that in my opinion there is a process with the code of conduct and how complaints are investigated and responded to. And in my opinion, that process has been followed.
Thank you, Mr. Gorder. Councillor Innes.
Thank you, Chair Mazzapelli. I initially wasn't going to speak to this, so I was going to let it go through, but I'm concerned by some of the comments made by my colleagues, and that's primarily because my intention of bringing the complaint forward was because our staff don't have a voice in a public forum. And what message are we as councillors sending to our staff if we are going to tolerate any one of us making inappropriate comments about our staff? What message does that send to all these people standing here? I know there was a resident in the back who thought I was smirking while they were speaking. In fact, I was smiling at our staff because they're uncomfortable. This is an uncomfortable situation for them. It's an uncomfortable situation for me. And sometimes we don't realize if we're being intimidating. But this is not the first instance of this happening. Clearly, there's been documentation given to the Integrity Commissioner leading up to today. So I use this as an example that I say to my children. My dad, for those of you who know him, he's a big kind of guy. He's gruff. He's a farmer. He's loud. And he says it like it is. He intimidates small children because he's a gruff, big guy. He has a heart of gold. Would help anybody do anything. But his demeanor is intimidating, especially to small children. And I'm using this as a simplistic example as I possibly could. Sometimes we don't realize our actions or our presence and how that's affecting people that we work with, whether it's your colleagues on council or your colleagues as staff or members from other bodies that we sit on or even our residents. But the reality is that happens. So what we need to do is when we get that information, take a step back. There wasn't one staff member. There were multiple staff members. I lodged this complaint because I read the letter to the editor, and quite frankly, I was offended and I was upset. These are our staff. If we don't have their back, who's going to have their back? I don't always agree with our staff. Don't get me wrong, but I will never do it in a public place. There is a time and a place to have those conversations, and you have them with respect and professionalism. They deserve it, as do I, as do my colleagues. It's unfortunate that we have to be here today. But enough is enough. Enough is enough. We've heard it. If we back down and say nothing and forget that this ever happened, what are we saying to our staff? I'm not willing to give them that message. I want them to know that I am here. I am here to work with them to serve our residents. That's what we were all elected to do. And if they're feeling intimidated or if they're feeling that their professional integrity is compromised, how are they going to give us the best advice and do the best job for us and for our residents? It's time we work together. Yes, we're having it out right now, and hopefully tomorrow we can move forward and work on issues to serve our residents because that's what we were elected to do. Let's take note. Take note of the advice that was given, the words that were written by the Integrity Commissioner. The Integrity Commissioner, which Councillor Shaughnessy has spoke on numerous occasions praising. How many conferences has she been to where she's attended seminars held by Mr. Fred Dean and Mr. John Fleming and praised how wonderful they are? So let's take a step back. Let's remember why we're here. We're not talking about the process. We're not talking about the process that the Integrity Commissioner did. What I brought to light and what our CAO brought to light is what conditions our staff have to come to. They have the right to come to a work environment that is safe. They have the right to come to a work environment where their professional integrity is not going to be compromised by me or anybody else. At the end of the day, I think we've had to have this conversation, and it's unfortunate that we have. It's been a long process. We're 2 years into this term. I don't think that this is the first time, and maybe our residents here think that we haven't taken an opportunity to have conversations outside of this about how we talk to our staff and how we talk to one another, but I can tell you this is not the first time. And you may not know the entire story. I don't know the entire story. And I'm sure that there's, you know, we can, I don't even want to get into those situations. But I think we've learned our lessons. We need to move on. I think we need to take a step back and look about how all of us work together and how we treat our staff. This is a learning experience. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that it had to happen. But let's move forward. But let's not lose sight as to why we're here today. It's unfortunate that apology is not given to our staff. They deserve an apology. And they're not even getting one. And that is sad.
Thank you, Councillor Innes. Councillor Groves.
The report today and what we're dealing with today is about process. And that is what I'm talking about is process. This is not about our staff. This is about Councillor Shaughnessy, a report that addresses and imposes penalties on Councillor Shaughnessy. We all don't agree with staff at times. I don't agree with staff sometimes, but yeah, I talk to staff. I guess my question is, if this has been going on, it is certainly not something that I've been privy to, and this has been going on and our staff have been feeling intimidated or bullied or whatever it is by the councillor, was there any discussions with the CAO and Councillor Shaughnessy and the staff that were affected? I don't know because I haven't been privy to that. So I just need to know that.
So what I would say is that is not council's place. Our place is to make decisions. And I think it's important that staff have that professional separation from council. The connection between staff and council is the CAO. And so I don't know that we would be privy to issues that staff are having internally or even with council. I assume that would be something that would be brought to the CAO's attention, not council's.
My question is, Mr. Chair, with all due respect, is Councillor Innes said this has been going on for a long time. If there was a problem, my question is, was there any discussion between Councillor Shaughnessy, the staff members that are feeling intimidated, and the CAO? I'm not saying it had to be brought here. I'm asking a question. Was there any opportunity to have those discussions with the councillor and the staff to try and find some sort of a resolution? That's my question.
What I can tell you, Councillor Groves, is that the CAO has advised that in this report, the items with respect to those brought forward by the CAO on behalf of staff were on behalf of 11 staff. So it was not an isolated incident. It wasn't a one-time incident. It was enough that caused 11 people to step up. And I wouldn't expect staff to come to me. That is not the chain of command, if you will, that I would be privy to that information. On the administrative side of the corporation, that feeds up to the CAO. And ultimately, that is where this ended up. And the CAO decided, instead of them individually bringing those forward, which I can understand would be uncomfortable, he, as a CAO, administrating staff, took that upon himself. So I see no more questions.
I still have the floor.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, yeah, Councillor
Thank
Groves.
You. And I will say we are not here to bully staff. We're not here to intimidate staff. We don't always agree with staff. I've seen it over the years being on this council. I've seen it done at Peel Region. I've seen it on other councils where the elected officials don't always agree with staff, but I mean, I can't imagine that it was so bad. I really can't. And I understand that it is the CAO's responsibility because he is responsible for his staff, certainly not us. We make policies and we put policies in place, and we don't deal with staff when it comes to their work and what they do. That is why we have the CAO. But I guess I'm just trying to wrap my head around it. And I don't know if the CAO has had any conversations with Councillor Shaughnessy. I just think it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that we're here today. It's unfortunate that that wasn't able to be dealt with prior to this report. That is all I'm saying. And I don't have those answers. And those are some of the answers that I'm looking for. But I don't have them. So I guess I'm not supporting the commissioner's report, so I guess we beat this thing to death. We might as well just vote on it.
Well, not just yet. Councillor Ennis is on the board.
Just a quick question for clarification, and I'm not sure who can answer this, but it's my understanding that typically when the commissioner gives his annual report, that all the questions and all the information will be provided in there with regards to how many complaints the town has received, for who, by whom, all that type of information. Is that correct?
I do know that that is something that we've received in the past, little statistical information. I don't know if Mr. Gorder can add more to that.
Thank you, through the chair, to Councillor Innes. Yes, that is a requirement under the Code of Conduct and the Integrity Commissioner's requirements to provide an annual report to council every year.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gorder. There are no questions. I just will be very quick in summing up my thoughts. First is I just wanted to say to Councillor Groves, the only reason I was trying to interject at the beginning was not to counter what you were saying in any way. It was just the point of 1A was refuted by the Integrity Commissioner. That's all I was trying to say. Most importantly, this is a sad and uncomfortable day. But it didn't start today. It obviously started well ahead of today. And I think it makes the very stark point that it is absolutely necessary for every councillor and every staff person. And I absolutely unequivocally believe that every staff person operates with professionalism and integrity in providing their advice to council. That is their job, and I believe they do it, and they do it well. It is important as council that we maintain, and I'm not taking a particular position on a particular matter, but as a blanket statement, that if we maintain and conduct ourselves with professionalism and integrity and respect, we won't be at this place. This is an indication that some point along the way, some wheels fell off the cart, and it's up to us, if we want to do the work of the community, to put those wheels back on the cart. We will not always agree. I have agreed and disagreed with most every member of council here, actually every member of council, and I do my best to make sure I do it respectfully and in a professional manner. And I think it's important that it's absolutely necessity that we all do that. And I think that is what needs to happen. I don't want this to continue. I know that if we each make it our commitment to act in a way that conforms to the code of conduct and professional and ethical and all of those types of things, that we will not be at this place again. And that is my hope for council. The last point I just wanted to make is it's extremely important that, I am not privy to all of the information. I am not privy to all that happened in the investigation. I expect that was undertaken and done competently. I cannot refute that it was. But I've heard some comments today about being bullied, being, you know, dealt with aggressively, and not doing something about that. That's not okay. That's not okay. You know, the comment was made earlier about, you know, reference to school children. They have a very clear anti-bullying policy. And this process is here to protect us, to protect staff, a mechanism for the public to, if they feel we've been out of place, to engage. So I would never suggest, you know, not using the process. It is there for a reason. And it is there for a reason because we do not support, we do not promote things that are outside of the code of conduct. And so I would never suggest that one not enter into that process. And if it's proven to be vexatious and false, that will come through in the report, I would think. So I'll leave it at that. It has been discussed at length. And there are no other speakers. So we will call the vote to the recommendation. All those in favor? Opposed? This is carried. The next item on the agenda is a notice of motion regarding High Street parking, moved by Councillor McClure. Is there a seconder to your motion, Councillor McClure? Regarding High Street? Councillor DeBoer. Whereas Council approved an amendment to the traffic bylaw to include a no parking anytime prohibition on the north side of High Street from Isabella Street to King Street on July 7, 2015, and whereas staff prepared a memo to Council on September 20, 2016, updating Council that staff have not received any concerns, complaints since implementing a one-way status and parking restrictions on High Street, and do not recommend any further actions. And whereas the Terracotta Community Center Board has recently expressed concerns regarding parking capacity on their site and lack of on-street parking on High Street, now therefore be it resolved that staff be directed to review the on-street parking restriction and direction of the one-way on High Street and report back to Council on any recommended changes. This was held by Councillor Downey. Go ahead.
Thank you. Through you, Chairman Zappelli, I'd like to, at this time, table deferral for this motion in light of the fact that through the delegations and discussions, the site plan information was somewhat provided, but we've basically come to see that we need to sort that issue out first. So I move to defer the motion to the next meeting.
Okay, so that was one thing I was going to mention. So there is a time stamp on it. Do you have a seconder to your motion, Councillor McClure? Is there any debate on them? No debates on deferrals. All right. All those in favor of deferring to the next council meeting? Any opposed? It's carried. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is correspondence. Is there anything in the correspondence package that requires action? Mayor Thompson.
Yeah, the one I want to ask about is the one concerning the transportation on cycling. Have we responded to that? I just want to make sure we have.
Mr. Wong.
Through Chair Mazzapelli, this was discussed at our recent cycling task force, and we are drafting something up. We'll run it by the cycling task force, and if we have an opportunity, we'll prepare a memo to council.
Okay. I just want to make sure we reply back to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Nothing held, else being held, or action for correspondence? Seeing none. This concludes this meeting of the General Committee, and it is now adjourned. Thank you.